Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, bonjour. In Spain, hola. In Italy, ciao. In Egypt, ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, akwaba. In Nigeria, peleo. In South Africa, sawbona. In Senegal, nangade. In Kenya, jambo. In Israel, shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed, into the swing of things? Well, don't worry, you are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness / stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
If you could live.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday morning mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, self-care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, repairing broken families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, soulful solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, health and well-being with Viata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, success strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on relationships. Third Saturday, move around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Thank you.
joining today as I get rid of the echo. Welcome to Monday Morning Mindfulness. I'm your host, Zelda Speaks, and it is a little sunny today, and I have no complaints, but I'm a little discombobulated here, but that's okay because I have you here. Thank you so much for joining me this morning, me and my tea. Gotta have my tea to start the day. Today is a powerful day. We will be joined by two former NFL players, Montre Hardage and Lance Kurth, and they are changing the game of football, so you be sure to tune in this morning. If you are headed out and about this morning, it is going to be crazy, as it always is. But before I do that, let me remind you, if you're celebrating a birthday, happy Earth Day, birthday, born day to you. Today is Monday, April 10th, and we're in April already. Belated happy Earth Day, birthday, born day if today's your birthday. And congratulations to Darylynn and her husband, Walter Hall. Went to their birthday party Saturday. Can you see the glass? It says happy 75th. It's on there somewhere. Can you see that? I don't want to on my computer, so. Anyway, happy birthday, born day. Walter Hall. And if you're celebrating a birthday, we're celebrating it with you. If you are headed out and about this morning, Traffic and Weather is sponsored by Karen Kelly of itex.com. And if you are an entrepreneur or business owner and you have a product or service to sell, this is the place to be, iTex. As we take a look at the expressways, it is going to be 70 degrees today and 75 tomorrow. Yay! Expect delays if you are on the metro this morning. There's a Metro Pacific Northwest line. It's stuck on the tracks. What train gets stuck on the track? Metro does. No reported delays on CTA. Inbound on the Kennedy, it's another story. 57 minutes, almost an hour inbound, 30 minutes on the reverse. On the Eaton's inbound, it's 28. 19 on the outbound. Dempster inbound, there's a car accident, so you can expect delays there. On the Eisenhower, it's 46 minutes in, 24 out. On the Stevenson, 29 in and 21 out. Southbound at Cicero between 59th and 63rd, there's a crash, so expect delays if you're headed to the airport. On the Dan Ryan, it's 15 in and 13 out. On the Bishop Ford, 15 and 11. And on DuSable, Lakeshore Drive, it is 11 minutes in and 9 minutes out. And that's your traffic and weather sponsored by Karen Kelly of itex.com. And your... Remember to set those DVRs for Sundays at midnight. Excuse me, that's the old time. Tuesdays at 6, Wednesdays at 1 on Channel 19 to see the Higher Learning Network TV show. And always on our YouTube channel, Higher Learning TV show. And you can call in after the 7:30 hour. That's when our guests will be here. And remember to go to diabeticdonut.com. And it's now time for your spiritual thought for the day, taken from Mike House, who says, "I surrender to the spiritual me." Monday, April 10th. Sometimes we may forget to pause and breathe. As human beings, we can become so consumed with doing and being in action that we become imbalanced in our living. All the constant doing may lead to feelings of exhaustion. We put stress on ourselves, emotionally, mentally, and physically. And our goals seem to move further away rather than closer to us. Today, I remember that there is a wisdom in me that knows the best way to receive that which I desire. As I let go of working hard, I surrender to spirit. My vibration increases and my desires flow to me with ease. I surrender to the spiritual me. I allow my spiritual me to take lead. I let go of working hard and welcome the ease of well-being. Thank you, wisdom, in me, through me, as me, around me, through the Christ within, and so it is. Get wisdom, get understanding, and turn not aside from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will save you. That's Proverbs 4, 5, and 6. And that's your Monday morning mindfulness. Inspiration from Mike House. And if you would like to be included in that weekly, I'm sorry, not weekly, daily, you can text us and we will include you in the information to send to Mike. So you can text Monday Morning Mindfulness to 219-699-2114 for updates. And just thought I would share that with you. Be sure and check out diabeticdonut.com if you are a person who has been cooped up in the house like most of us have been over the last couple of years. Probably ate a little bit too much. Not drinking enough water. Might be pre-diabetic. I was pre-diabetic for 10 years, so I don't know if I can do it. You can do it. Anybody can do it, so. Go to diabeticdonut.com and download that different ebook called How I Reversed Type 2 Diabetes. And it is now time for your Monday morning mindfulness meditation. You know what that means? Yeah, get comfortable. Looking at my comments, Suzanne, Essential. Grand Rising, my sister, thank you so much for joining me this morning down there in the state of Florida. Not Florida, Georgia. Thank you for sending some sun. We got some heat today, so I'm ecstatic about that because we got 75 and 80. That don't happen here in Chicago. So thank you so much, and thank you for joining us. But now it is time for a Monday morning mindfulness meditation, and it's time for us to spend some time with self, because we spend, especially women, we spend so much time helping others, preparing others, and we somehow kind of miss that self-care. So that's what this is self-care. So all we're going to do is open up your chakras this morning. We're simply going to allow you to be in a space of healing, a space and a time that is all yours, where you can spend attention on self and not others. So we're simply going to breathe in to the count of five through the nose. And when you breathe in, I want you to feel your chest expand. If you don't feel your chest expand like that, you're not breathing deep enough and you won't get the experience. And it's the experience that I want you to have, because if you're not breathing deep enough, you are not going to feel what we're feeling this morning. So let us prepare ourselves. And when you hear this sound, just know it's a reminder to gather your thoughts back to your breath so you can focus on that. Because, you know, your mind will wander, all the things, your to-do list and all of that. Just put that to the side. This is your time right here, right now. Right, Tony?
All right.
All right. Are you going to meditate with us this morning? Okay, sit up straight in your chair, feet flat on the floor, nothing in your hands, nothing in your lap. And if you have a high back chair like I do, can't see that there, just I always turn and stretch like that. But anyway, we're just going to start. Inhale deeply. And exhale. That feels good. Inhale deeply. Hold it. And exhale. Once more, inhale deeply. Hold it. And this time, turn to the side. If you got a high back chair, yeah, so your inners can feel the stretch that's going on within, that's on the inside. Yeah, feel that stretch. Exhale, inhale once more. And as you exhale, stretch again, turn to the side. Yeah, give that body some movement. 80-year-old lady told me at the gym, she said, baby, a body in motion stays in motion. So we want to stay in motion here. That's what we do here at the Higher Learning Network. We even have something called the Higher Learning Hip Roll, where we roll our hips from side to side. Because a body in what? Body in motion stays in motion. Let us continue to breathe in. Hold it for 5 seconds and then blow it out your mouth. You should feel a relief. I feel all that in here once more. Inhale deeply. Hold it. And exhale. And just feel what that feels like. Breath coming in and out of your body. Continue to breathe. We don't have to breathe together as long as you're breathing. Inhale. Hold it. And exhale. Now, if you are breathing long enough and deep enough, you will feel a sensation because the breath is your first arm of defense in this chaotic world that we live in. Let's breathe in together. Breathe in. Hold it. And exhale as we give thanks for the power of the breath because look at you breathing all on your own. Somebody somewhere has a trachea in their throat, has respiratory illnesses, diseases, and things of that nature. And you can breathe all on your own. Give thanks. Mm-hmm. Inhale deeply. Hold it. And exhale. And let's take this one long, last, deep inhale together. Hold it. Bringing that breath up from the top of the head down through the face and the forehead and landing on the shoulders. Blow it out. Bringing that breath on down through the solar plexus and the sides and the back and the buttocks and the thighs and the knees. Oh, yes, honey, rub those knees because those knees keep us mobile. Get from point A to point B. And I always give a shout-out to my PT, my physical therapist, Colleen Fogarty, and Sabrina and Pedro, hope I got those names right, and all the physical therapists at North Shore who keep these legs moving, honey. I am most grateful to be walking this morning because somebody somewhere is in a wheelchair, in a bed, or just need help walking. So give thanks for the little that you do have so that it will increase. So we inhale deeply. Sending more love, light, and energy down through the legs and the ankles and the arch and the toes. Yeah, feel free to wiggle those toes and send that energy right back up through the toes and the feet and the ankles and the arches as we continue to breathe in. Bringing that energy back up through the legs and the knees and the thighs and the hips. As we continue to breathe in. And as we continue to blow it out. As we breathe in. Bringing that energy up from the sides and through the arms as we stretch and stretch and stretch and give thanks for the power of the stretch. As we breathe in. Sending the energy all the way back up to the top of the head. And as we exhale, bend your head forward, blow it out, and head up, inhale deeply, hold it, and this time when you let it out, bring your head forward, chin to chest, and slowly rotate that head to the left, slowly, slowly, slow down, you're moving too fast, slowly bring it around to the back, slowly over to the right, slowly feel that stretch in that, bring the head back, head up, inhale deeply. And as you exhale, bring the head back down, chin to chest, and slowly rotate the head to the right. Slowly, slowly, slowly to the left. And slowly bring it back around to the right. Head up, inhale deeply. And as you exhale, look to the left as far as you possibly can, feeling the stretch in the right side of the neck. And bring the head back center. Inhale deeply. Hold it. And as you exhale, turn your head to the right as far as you possibly can and feeling a stretch in the left side of the neck. Oh, that feels good, doesn't it? Uh-huh. Yeah. And bring the head back around. Inhale. And exhale. As we give thanks for the power of the breath, we know that we are always at the right place at the right time, continuing to breathe in and breathing out. We arm ourselves with the power of the breath because it is the breath that will keep us in times of chaos and confusion. We give thanks that we are in an environment that is safe and sound, and we can practice this breathing exercise to prepare ourselves for the day. Simply breathe. You don't have to spend 5 minutes or 10 minutes. You can spend 2 minutes, but you must do deep breathing. Because when you breathe in and breathe out, as Dr. Maya Angelou, the late poet, author, film, actress, director, say, before you face the day, face God. Face the universal spirit that is within you, that guides you and guards you and protects you. And it's all done with the beginning, the power of the breath. As we breathe in, we give thanks for this exercise, this mindfulness exercise, Monday morning mindfulness, that will keep us safe and sound when we are approached with negativity and chaos and confusion. And all we have to do is remember to what? Breathe in. And when you exhale, blow it out through your mouth. And if you got a little funk on your breath, a little stank, you forgot to brush your teeth. I promise you. They will move away. They will move way back. Yeah, they will move back. And that's something that you could try on your own. You can go to my Instagram page, Zelda Speaks, or Zelda Speaks, the number 2 and the letter U. And I also got another one, too. Don't ask me how that happened. There's a Zelda Speaks, the number 2, and M-E. Okay, so you can check both of those out. But anyway, thank you so much for sharing this. And share it with somebody, because we all know somebody who knows somebody who's stressed out during the day. And during the course of the day, we probably get a little upset, blood pressure get high, and we don't think to drink water. I'm stressed. Why would I drink some water? Drink some. Take a deep breath. They're going to look at you like you're crazy, but that's okay. And drink some water. And I am to inform you that, ladies and gentlemen, you have just entered the happiness zone. You know why? Because your brain has activated the happiness genes within you. And look at you, breathing all on your own, looking good, smiling this morning. Now kiss yourself, in the words of Mike Apple, kiss yourself. Mwah, mwah, yes. Well, I want to thank you for having that experience with me this morning. It is 7:26. Oh, let us see. More comments here. You, Susan, says, you look lovely. Thank you, my sister. I'm only a reflection of you. And she says, you're welcome. Thank you so much, Jody. Susan, who's on Tuesday morning. And Jody is the lady who, my sister from another mister, who introduced me to Montre Hardis and Lance Kurtz. And they'll be coming on very shortly after the 7:30 break. Grand Rising, Sistar Breathing with you, this AM, yes, Soul Purpose Healing Theod. If you didn't hear the show last night, every Sunday night at 7 till 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, you got to go back and hear the story, the show on transgender, transphobia, and fascism. You got to see, because it gives you insight into all the nonsense, the craziness that's going on in the world. So I had to share that with you. So Grand Rising, and thank you so much for being a part of Monday Morning Mindfulness, where we do our very best to give you that which you need for the show. And coming up shortly, we will be joined by them. And be sure and tune in tomorrow morning for Self-Care with Jody Susan. Now, before I go to break, let me very quickly share with you what's going on with the Homeless Project. And for those of you who don't know, I work with an organization called the Higher Learning Network TV show. Well, I think you know that. I produce that show, which airs Tuesdays at 6, Wednesdays at 1 on Channel 19. And our mission, my little brother Douglas Robinson was murdered February 19, 2017. And all of these people showed up at his funeral, and I was simply overwhelmed. And I have never seen that. I didn't know that there were that many homeless people. And then I come to find out about this, and I was like, oh my goodness. So this is our Instagram page. You see right here, hln.homeless.project. And when you go there, you'll see some of the videos of the work that we do here. And thank you for your votes for choosing us as your charity. So there's lots of information. I'm not going to play it. You can go there and see it yourself. But I just wanted to share that with you. And coming up, it is time for our first break. And we are going to, when we come back, we will have the our guest, Montre Hardage and Lance Kurtz, former NFL players who are changing the game. So stay close and we'll be right back.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Everything you need, what your body needs, is found in nature. So Susan Essentials doesn't do it any other way. Susan Essentials provides your employees and individuals access to over 20,000 nutritional products, and they are shipped direct to your door. Because Susan Essentials is certified in plant-based healing, we're permitted to offer you the best nutritional supplements on the planet. They're non-GMO and sustainably produced. And we take the guesswork out for you. Let Susan Essentials help you take control of your health today.
We all say we would like to be wealthy, but wealth isn't determined by how much money you have. Wealth is determined by your power to define what money is. The dictionary defines money as something used as a way to pay for goods and services and to pay people for their work. So how would you like to have access to an unlimited source of money? Money that is not taxed by the government. Money that increases as you share the opportunity with others. Money that you can use to pay for goods and services and pay people for their work. I'm talking about Bitcoin. It's the future of independent wealth building. Bitcoin is the new money that you control. Get started building your wealth. Call 312-849-3456. That's 312-849-3456.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is a result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Do you have a product or service? Take your business global and get new customers from around the world. Advertise on the Female Solution Radio Show. You may have a great product. You may even have a fantastic website. But how do you let people know you exist? Tell them. Promote your business on one of the most dynamic shows on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution. You'll reach an enthusiastic audience of more than 100,000 loyal daily listeners with a specially designed 30-second ad that will drive customers directly to your website. We'll send you statistics as tracked by Blog Talk Radio to let you know the numbers and demographics of those hearing your advertisement. Your ad will run during the live 2-hour morning show from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, and it will be heard all day long by listeners who listen to the archived shows. You'll reach our worldwide audience on their laptops, iPods, iPads, and cell phones. Watch the orders for your product or service increase. Just go to our website, www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. And click on the radio advertising page. Send us your words. We'll create a 30-second radio ad and watch your business increase worldwide.
Okay, and we are back with the show. Thank you so much for joining us back here on The Female Solution. I'm your host, Delphi. Lance cursing two NFL, former NFL players who are changing the game of football, and they are live here with us on The Female Solution, Grand Rising, Montre and Lance. Thank you so much for joining us here this morning.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you here. Hi, Lance. Thank you for joining us, too. And we know that Montre has to leave early, so we're going to get him on here so that he can be on his way. I don't want you late for your meeting and Monday morning mindful is causing. No, we did not. So let me tell you a little bit about him before he has to go. Montre Hardage, former NFL player with the Miami Dolphins. Yay, Miami! Wish I was there with you. And the New York Giants. And he's right here from Chicago, Northwestern University. How about that? And sickle cell trait. Now, I got to talk to you all about that because both of you all mentioned that in your bios, and I'm a sickle cell, and I never think about it. So, yeah, we got to talk about that. And he's from Cordell, Georgia. Is that right, Montre?
That's correct.
Never heard of Cordell. Where is that near? Is that anywhere near Atlanta?
It's like 2 hours south of Atlanta.
2 hours south. Okay. Not that I would know any difference, but, yeah, I get the gist. And Lance. A former Spanish pro basketball player, B-ball. I did not know that. Okay. Business management degree. All right, now, that's what I'm talking about. Sickle cell trait survivor and from Fort Myers, Florida. Please welcome them to the show today, Montre Hardage and Lance Kirst. They are changing the game of the NFL. Now, I got to know. How is it that you two met? Oh, shout out to Jody Susan, who arrange this for us to be here this morning. Jody Susan, you've been on her show. Thank you so very much. Jody Susan says, she says, Fagala was cooling to your meditation. Oh, that's cute. That's my girl, Fagala. And hi, Montre and Lance. Good morning, gents. Thank you so much for joining us here this morning. Okay, so tell us how did you guys meet each other?
Yeah, it was it was in 2020 during the pandemic, and basically learned about this market down at Coconut Grove, organic vegan market, and just really shopping around. And came across some sea moss. And, you know, initially I had heard of it, but wasn't really, you know, didn't know too much about it. And then, you know, met Lance, and we kind of just had a click initially.
Met at the market?
Correct.
Oh, wow.
He was a vendor at the market.
Oh.
And he had his whole setup going, and he was, you know, basically kind of just, you know, providing information for everyone in terms of nutrition, health, you know, sea moss, and, you know, for me, trying to learn about it because I'm more of a health enthusiast myself, and going back to New York, I was with New York at the time, I'm trying to find different ways so I can hack my environment during the winters and et cetera. So we start, you know, talking and realizing that we had a lot of things. We both played professionally, both had sickle cell trait, and just talking about our experiences with the sickle cell trait and then how we're able to use things that are more conducive towards our health. Such as, you know, eating the right things, cutting back on the processed sugars and et cetera. And then from then on, we kind of just created a brotherhood, stayed in contact. You know, I would buy sea moss from him and then visit during my off seasons. And then whenever I came back during the summers, kind of just had an opportunity to really build a relationship. And then from then on, it just remained super organic, and then we started doing business.
Okay, now I gotta ask about this sickle cell trait because both of you mentioned that in your bio. I forgot I had the trait. Why is that so important? Because I know both of you mentioned that in your bio. So why is that important?
Personally, for me, and a lot of athletes that I've seen in my proximity of playing ball and even basketball players. But first and foremost, for the athletes that I've been around at Northwestern, I think we had at least 3 to 4 players that had sickle cell trait. And initially, for me, I wasn't really exposed to the symptoms until I got to college when I started to do a lot more aerobic activities. You know, you're working out every day, and your body has to recover. And so realizing and conditioning, the tempo of that increase. So now I'm really seeing my body go into this inflammation periods of, you know, oxidation stress and, like, you know, I'm maybe my muscles are a lot more sore than the regular or just my other counterparts on the team, and then realizing that it had a lot to do with oxygen-deprived, you know, cells that your body basically goes into after a certain type of condition, whether it's strenuous workouts, whether even a long day of just doing homework, a long day of just doing counter, you know, just things in life, your body has to take a lot more time to, recover. And so with my experience with it, I started realizing that it has an impact. There's sometimes it impedes my progress on performance, and I have to realize when I need to take a step back and actually get some rest and rest hard. So for me, it's a very common thing in a lot of, you know, organizations who have a lot of money, such as the NCAA and NFL, they take this into account. Like, hey, if you have sickle cell, hey, we have a strategic plan for you now. And I think this has been set, maybe I can only say probably 5 years ago because I've only was in the league 3 years. And so hearing the nutritionists, hearing the trainers talk about these new programs that they're setting, because a lot of athletes who are prime time, legit first rounders have these traits. And
really?
They have to make sure they can protect their money. And so now these things are actually in the foundation now. And because if you can't protect the players.
Wow.
Absolutely.
That's eye-opening for me. I didn't know they cared.
When it affects their money, when it affects
your
bottom
line,
the top 10 pick.
Yeah.
If you're a top 30 pick, I'm guaranteeing you $10 million. Of course I'm going to put a plan into play.
Okay.
If you're a vet and you're a person who they need, and you're a leader, of course they're going to make sure, you know, a lot of times back in the day it was unknown information and knowledge, but now the science is getting a lot more in-depth about how, you know, these things are impeding a lot of players and causing a lot of, et cetera, heart attacks or, you know, cardiovascular type of situations. And, you know, I had a friend personally, he went blind, had a sickle cell crisis. Went blind for a minute, almost lost it.
Really?
Absolutely.
Oh my goodness!
Just half the trait. Didn't have the disease, but it triggered.
Wow! Was that your experience too, Lance?
Yeah, very similar. Yeah, I didn't go blind though.
Thank God for that.
It wasn't that bad, but yeah. So sickle cell trait is not benign. Most people believe that, you know, they shouldn't have any effect on body pressure, not the full-blown disease, but that's far from the truth, right? Because you can still have complications. As one trait was saying, you know, when you're going through rigorous activity, when you're dehydrated, high elevation, when you're sick, yeah, like if me and Montre get sick, it may last a couple of days longer than you would get sick. Or not you, but somebody without sickle cell trait can get sick, right? Or hypothetically, if we were to drink alcohol and then, you know, it may take us a few more days to sober up than the other person, or we'll have lingering effects from it. Just that our bodies have to be optimal at all times. Like we can't play around with, you know, not knowing. We have to be structured. Everything has to be in order. Our eating patterns, our sleeping patterns, like Montre said, was saying, the recovery, that's number one, because our body takes such a beating. We have to recover. We have to get out of that cortisol state, that stress state, and get back into that compensation state as fast as possible, because what will happen is with sickle cell trait, since it's taking a toll on you, you can be in a constant state of stress or depletion, right? So instead of, you know, your body coming back to homeostasis, you're in a constant stress state, and it's hard to get to that recovery phase, back to the equilibrium or the homeostasis, so you never get into the supercompensation phase. So we're just trying to get out of that, because everyone's going to get stressed no matter what. That's just life, right? You can avoid that. How do you come back up out of that stress into the recovery phase? Recovery phase, compensation phase. And we, if you don't know, you can always be stuck in the stress phase and you never recover.
Wow. I never heard anybody say that you can stay stuck in the stress phase. And a lot of people are walking around stuck in the stress. Wow, I never thought about it like that.
Chronic stress is, I don't care if you're eating the best diet. You know, I don't care if you have the best mindset. Yeah, you're gonna. If you don't learn how to control your stress, you know, even from with the right mindset and with the diet, just putting all those pieces together, then you're gonna get sick. I don't care what it is. You're gonna develop some type of something.
So how is it that? What role, I should say, does the sea moss play in this? And how did this? Well, I know you met at the market, but what brought you all together to say, well, you know, there's some hot things going on here, and there's some hot things going on. How did you choose sea moss?
Sea moss is, it was a, you know, I'm Jamaican. It's from Jamaica. I have my Jamaican shirt on.
All right, now. You Irish man.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to get there. I was supposed to go there for my 65th birthday with my girlfriend, but she was sick, and it was like, I'm not going to be bothered with this shot and all of this, so I never made it. So you as close as I get to it right about now.
Yeah, you guys missed out.
Yeah.
But, yeah, sea moss is one of those staple herbs that you drink and consume in Jamaica. You know, I didn't grow up in Jamaica, but I grew up around a bunch of Jamaicans, so I was exposed to it at a young age. After I stopped playing basketball in Spain, I started getting deeper back into it, and I started providing it. Pandemic comes around, and then that's the hottest thing in the world, so I happened to jump in just before the pandemic.
Really now?
Yeah, before the pandemic. So when the pandemic came around, it was popping, and I was like, wow, like, what is going on? Like, overnight, it was like an overnight sensation. But for most people, it was for a while, because I've known about it, I've seen it, right? And then, you know, we were like, okay, let's do something. Let's provide this to everybody, put it in a simple, easy, like an easy herbal, you see the name, put it in a simple, easy way to consume it. make it easy. We're the only ones to provide 6 grams of sea moss per serving in a drinkable form. We have the most, you know, I think we perfected the way of consuming it to the degree that no one has. This is cutting edge. We're ahead of everyone in this race. You know, we're just trying to explain to people how easy and applicable it is to life. Because, you know, when you have the gel, a lot of people, they're having to put in the fridge and it expires. But when you put in a powder form, it doesn't expire as quick. It lasts a bit longer. So if you were to go through an apocalypse, you want to powder everything down, dehydrate a bunch of stuff.
I'm so glad.
This would be the best food for an apocalypse. Absolute best food.
I am so glad you said that, because I never knew until I went to your site, which is EZHerbal.com, and I'm going to post that up there in a minute, but I want people to see this. Sea moss, you need 5 reasons why you need sea moss in your diet. Number one, high in natural collagen, skin, hair, and nail support. And with all the nails going around and so many issues in our community, I'm so glad to hear that, because I didn't know that. I knew about the minerals and the vitamins and all the other things, but I didn't know about this. But I have to ask this question. I did not know that it could come in a powder form. You see, because my sister introduced it to me about 5 years ago, just before the craze even hit, like you all were. And I make it myself, but I didn't know that it came in a powder form. So what makes the powder form superior to the gel that you keep in the refrigerator?
That's an amazing question. So the way science works is, you know, you have, you know, a liquid, a gas, a solid, right?
Okay.
So almost everything can go in those three forms: liquid, gas, solid. The solid sea moss, you could soak it to put it into a liquid form.
Mm-hmm.
So you take the solid, gel, liquid. But what you can also do is take it in its dehydrated state, the solid state, and just powder it down. You put it through a pulverizer and you grind it down, and it becomes a fine powder.
Oh.
That's it. So it is the exact same thing as the gel, but just in a powder form. So when you change the form, now it doesn't have moisture to it. Whenever you add moisture to something, it starts to get old faster. Right? It starts to increase. It accelerates the particles, so it decays quickly. In a powder dry state, where, because sea moss is already dry, you can last. That can last forever. So it's superior because it's convenient. It's a flavored powder as well, because a lot of people don't like the taste of sea moss.
Yeah, buddy, because it doesn't. It has no taste. It does. And so I was excited when I said, "Oh, purple lemonade! Oh yeah, everybody likes lemonade." I love that.
And it's extremely potent. It hits your blood just as fast as the gel. Actually, probably faster.
Is it because it's pulverized?
Yeah, because it's pulverized in that fine state.
It says you launch healthy way to hydrate. So can you hydrate just by putting it in water?
Yes, ma'am.
Hmm. So if you were stranded on an island somewhere, and shake it up.
Yep.
Mix it up. So if you were stranded on an island or anywhere at the airport, couldn't get any food, you could take this and survive a day.
A lot longer than a day.
Yeah.
The Irish survived the potato famine on sea moss. So a lot longer than a day. You're gonna have a lot of amino acids for the protein, a lot of minerals for hydration, electrolytes, whatnot. So you can last a lot. People fast for weeks on sea moss.
For weeks.
The biggest component that's not talked about with sea moss is the magnesium. That magnesium, in terms of how it basically plays a huge role with the cortisol levels that we were talking about, and how magnesium relaxes the nervous system.
Ah.
And you talk about like how that helps with cramps, whether it's muscle cramps, whether it's women who are PMSing, etc. All these different things, because of this magnesium that's in it, it provides the body to get back to a homeostasis. And this is why you know, CMOS for me and Lance was a no-brainer because we saw our bodies really have an impact. And with this powder, I believe that it's more bioavailable just because it hits the bloodstream faster. And it doesn't have a lot of water molecules that your body has to break down because it's not going through a different type of conversion in terms of going from a solid to a liquid. It just stays in its organic form, and we just chop it up down to the particles where your body can just basically absorb it.
Oh, my goodness. This is such a learning experience. I love this. See, because when I heard you on Jody's show, and then I went back, and I don't know why. It just never occurred to me that it would be in a powder form. And I'm looking at the site, and I was like, this is powder. Okay, so what is this? So I had to get, because I never knew it came in a powder form. So, you know, you live and you learn. So thank you for that. What significance, I see the candles there. What significance does that have?
The candle?
Yeah.
Just to provide light for the setting.
Oh, okay. And
yeah.
Okay, and this is the website, ezherbal.com, correct?
That's correct.
Now, you said something very important about the stress, because stress is killing all of us. And I knew... because I had a trainer back in the day, and he always said, be sure and get as much magnesium in your body as you possibly can. I'm like, what do you know? And, you know, this the uninformed consciousness saying, what do you know? It's like he's a trainer, duh. But I noticed a shift in the way I felt, and it's like you feel these things. Sometimes you feel them and sometimes you don't, but the body will respond differently when you have the kind of nutrition in your body to help you to continue being a healthy person. And most of us are not, well, I shouldn't say most of us, many of us are not on that journey. So how does one become accustomed to taking herbal supplements they never even heard of before? How does that work? What do you suggest?
So the thing is, all of life is based on psychology, right? It's how do you understand your way of living? You know, if you don't understand that food causes disease, stress causes disease, lack of exercise causes disease, lack of sleep causes disease, not getting enough water causes disease, right? Mm. If you don't understand that, you know, how the human body works, well then it's going to be hard to, you know, get people to understand. CMOS is part of that diet piece.
Mm.
That causes disease. So this is something that's extremely high, extremely potent to complement your body for it to do its thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because once you affect one part of that equation, which I call it, you know, the seven natural doctors,
mm-hmm.
once you affect one part of that equation, the rest of them take effect to some degree, right? So if I master my diet, well, maybe my mind changes, so my stress changes because the gut controls 95% of serotonin. So CMOS has properties that are going to help, you know, get rid of a lot of that inflammation in the gut. So now my mind will start acting different because the body and the mind is connected.
Wow.
So everything is all connected. So we live in an era now where, you know, people are afraid to take mango off a tree because it needs to have scientific backing in its space to eat, right? But when your grandmother or your mother was living, right, that's all they ate was stuff outside. They didn't have to go to a farm.
Mm-hmm.
They went to someone else's yard or whatever they ate.
Mm-hmm.
But our environment, well, we put all the trust in the medical system where we feel like they know, or the Food Drug Administration, whatever, that they know. And it's like, well, anyone who has a monopoly on health or anyone who has a monopoly on knowledge, you kind of want to take that with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
It's like they're trying to control you to do certain things.
Yeah.
Because if someone really wanted to, you know, give you something, they say, hey, there's 1,000 different herbs. Choose one.
Right.
There's 100 million different herbs. Choose one. You know, we're basically providing one of the most powerful herbs since 2020 in the whole U.S.
And it's black man doing it. it. That's what I'm talking about. It's brothers doing it. I have learned. I'm sorry to cut you off. I'm just so excited.
Yeah, you're good. You're good. Now, cut me off whenever you want.
Because brothers have been dogs since day one. And now the word is out. Montre, I know you got about a minute or so because you got a meeting you got to go to. Give us your final word. But I just had to say that before you left because I wanted you to know how excited I am that you all are doing this. Go ahead, Montre.
Definitely. I definitely appreciate the time. I think, you know, that question you just mentioned about, you know, what does it take to kind of make that next step into the right decision, whether it's herbs, whether it's just healthy living. I think whatever you do, you have to become a philosopher of it. You have to study it. You have to believe it. You have to consume it. You have to become it. And, you know, all these different things we talk about, you know, has to start with routine. I believe successful people are biased people. You know, they have standards. You know, if there is a way that how we had to become to be professionals, we had a biased way of looking at life. Hey, this is what we need to do. This is how it needs to be done. And these are the people and the support system that we need in order to go into the weight room, in order to go in our classroom, in order to go into a facility or an arena and actually compete and be great. And so having this strategic mindset in terms of how to implement a certain process or a service, you need biases. Go into organizations, there's a culture, there's a model, what we stand on, and a lot of people have to get back to the foundation and try to figure out what they're philosophers of so you can create that in your household. Like, you know, you go to a certain household, you can tell energy, there's a certain foundation,
yes.
There's a certain way to live there, there's certain rules, there's certain social norms when you go to different countries, there's a certain way of doing things, and that's a bias. And it's not necessarily negative, it's just a way of living. If it suits you and it's very conducive towards your living, and it provides you with the amazing well-being, becoming more spiritual, becoming more connected with earth, becoming more in tune with honing in on your skills, that's the way you should go. If it's something that's convenient, peer pressure-based, you know you're not living your true intent and essence of who you're made out of. And just become a philosopher of what you want in life, and if it's something that's providing with value, whether it's money, love, support, understanding, respect, growth, whether it's muscle, whether it's mind, whether it's spiritually, whether it's emotional, it's all, that's just how I look at it, and it's just like, we got to really tap in and do that work, so we got to study whatever we want to become, just like Lance did, just like I've become, and just like you have become. I mean, we study the things that we believe, and so I think it starts with actually sitting down, doing the research, figuring out what are the pros and the cons, figuring out, does this really align with me? And go on from there.
You hit the nail on the head, and Jody Susan of Susan Essentials says, yes, we need to reprogram the old belief systems and choose ones that feed our souls. Thank you so very much, Jody. And thank you so much, Montre Hardage. Phenomenal entrepreneurship, a phenomenal businessman. Please go to easyherbal.com and check it out. And I tell you, if you want to feel good, you want to look good, CMOS is the answer. I found that out the hard way. I mean, it wasn't the hard way, but yeah, it's all about that. So thank you, Montre. Thank you so very much. I know you've got a meeting to go to, and we really appreciate it. Thank you so much. Look forward to having you all, you guys on again in the future.
Thank you.
Thank you. But you're not leaving, are you, Lance?
I'm here.
Oh, okay, good. It is 8:01. We are going to take our next commercial break, and you stay close, and we will be right back, and we're going to chat some more with Lance Kurtz of EZHerbal.com. So you need to go somewhere, not somewhere, but go and text somebody and let them know that the game has been changed, and the game changers are on the Higher Learning Network TV show, which airs Tuesdays at 6, Wednesdays at 1 on Channel 19. Stay close, and we'll be right back.
Thank you.
okie dokie. Don't know what happened there, but something just crazy just happened. Why are not my promos not playing? Let's see what happens here.
Do you want to leave?
Conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Wellbeing with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
If something can go wrong, it does. There you go.
Techniques on how to de-stress immediately? Then book your free 30-minute consultation with Zelda Speaks, the Mindfulness Stress Relief Coach, at higherlearningnetwork.org. Thanks for sharing.
pH is 7.25 or 7.35. Anything below that is the acidic environment. Anything above is the oxygenated environment. So basically getting your body the highest quality of food so your body doesn't have to do work to get you back to that homeostasis.
And I've also heard that if you take lemon, if you don't have alkaline water, because not everybody can afford to have an alkaline machine or have alkaline or purchase alkaline water, that if you sprinkle, if you cut a lemon in half and squeeze that lemon in the water first thing in the morning, that makes it alkaline.
Yeah. So lemon lime. Typically, lime is more alkaline than lemon. But yeah, you can put that any. Any of those things, but keep in mind it's what type of water is it. You know, it's tap water from, you know, if you're in Flint, Michigan, I don't think you can put anything in there. You have to be considerate. You know, typically you want some spring water, or let's say if you were to boil some water or whatnot, boil it down, sterilize it, or if you put water in a glass jar and leave it outside for about 6 hours, it'll purify it as well. Because the sun does that as well, so.
I'm so glad you said that. Sit the water outside in the sun for how many hours?
They say about 6 hours. Typically in the middle of the summer, mm-hmm. 6 hours, it'll sterilize it. It'll clean that water up.
That's what my aunt and Edna used to do. See, a lot of people don't know this, but I picked cotton back in the day. I know.
Where are you from?
I'm born in Chicago, but when I was 9, my mom passed, and I was sent south to live with an aunt who was a sharecropper.
Yep.
And in order for you to eat, you had to chop some cotton.
Yep.
So I know everybody thinks Michael Jackson originated the glove, but honey, I originated the glove.
Uh-huh.
My hands were so bruised, I would not wear, I would wear glasses, extra glasses, gloves. Until he left. I am not a fan of hard work, but I've done the hard work. But getting back to the water, I digress. I do that all the time.
Yeah. Not many people know about sharecropping, though.
Yeah. Excuse me?
Not
many people know about sugar cramps.
No, they think everything comes out of a vending machine, come from the store. They don't know somebody has to do back-breaking labor in order to...
to make that shirt, to make that
cow. Let me tell you, for a very long time, I would not wear cotton. I didn't want anything, I didn't want no parts of cotton around me.
My grandmother was a sharecropper, too.
Say that again?
My grandmother was a sharecropper, too, so...
So my grandma, no, baby. I was sad all day. We were just fine. We had no health problems, none. Do you hear me?
Yeah.
So the fact that you have come along... I've been watching these YouTube videos, and it talks about how people of Afro anything are not recognized. I've been watching a video called Afro Argentinians, how they are not in Argentina and Nicaragua, how they are not acknowledged, and they talk about sharecropping back in their days. And I was like, wow, Argentinians did sharecrop to everybody. If you were this color, you did some kind of slave labor.
Do you know about slavery in Argentina?
From YouTube, that's all I know.
The majority of their slaves were after the abolishment of slavery.
That's what the lady said. I was like, oh,
99% of them they killed.
I was like, oh my goodness, no, we are back. Oh, Lord, this phone is hot as the day. It's so hot. Okay, I'm out of it. That's all in that. But you said the Argentinians were killing their slaves. I had no idea. I should have known.
They killed 99% of their slaves. I think they put them in a plane and dropped them out of the plane or something like that. It was strange. It is a strange system. Yeah. So that's why you go to Argentina. There's no African-Americans there. No African South Americans.
Deborah Smith says, blessings when setting the water outside, should it be in a clear glass container only?
Yeah, you don't want to put it in a
plastic. You don't want plastic in anything.
Yeah. Or some copper, right? They should put it in copper. Copper, right? They'll put it inside of copper and let it
have copper. I was like, ooh, I'm going to try that one day. I'm not going to try it. Joey from Susan Essentials says that is a myth. Everyone can afford alkaline water. Okay. My water system is cheaper than bottled water, and bottled water, you just may as well go throw your money down the toilet. And when you take the toxins out, the water naturally shifts from acidic to alkaline. Thank you for that, Joey. Everybody can afford alkaline. If you can afford to go buy expensive bottled water, yeah, you can use
water system. People are buying more expensive things than that daily.
Hello. Jody says, glad you're back. Yeah, we're glad to be back, too. I don't know what that was about. I guess I gave it was too much praise, and they didn't want to hear that this early in the morning. They didn't want to be bothered with that. But they don't be bothered with it because it is imperative that we know that we have this kind of information, because not everybody knows. They know all about the stuff coming out in the little plastic tubes that you squirt it out. We know about all the junk food. We need to know about evherbal.com. And now that I've got the internet back up, I'm going to let you talk about it a little bit more while I pull it back up.
Yeah. So Easy Herbal is one of those products that I wanted to create for myself when I played sports, because I needed something. I almost lost my kidneys twice, right? I was playing college basketball, and mineral deficient. I was sleeping at night. I wasn't drinking at that time. Right, I had never drank up until mineral deficiency.
Can cause you to have sleepless nights.
Of course.
Wow, I did not know.
Yeah. So that, rigorous activity, we were practicing in a gym that was 15 degrees hotter inside than it was outside.
Woo!
So Richmond, Virginia in the summer, so it was 90 outside, 105 inside, no circulation through it. I cramp up, go to the hospital, high muscle breakdown levels. I went through a period of rapid myolysis, that's what they call it. It's a rapid muscle breakdown, so my kidneys couldn't filter out that breakdown of muscle. And I needed something that was going to allow me to play. I needed something and I wish I had it at the time. It wasn't there. So basically, I'm creating everything that I wish I would have had. Not saying that everyone has sickle cell trait, but everyone does become their age. People do become dehydrated. People do, have certain things wrong with them, where if that's wrong with me as a person with sickle cell trait, it's exacerbated to like a level 10 if it's supposed to be a level 3, right? So basically, I'm taking everyone's issues because I have those issues too, but they just appear much worse than me, right? So I'm taking everyone's issues and trying to solve it one by one.
Wow.
Yeah.
I had no idea. So you are a living, walking, talking testimony of what CMOS can do for you. Because it still amazes me, five, two, three, four, 5 years later, people still don't know what CMOS is like. Oh, what's that? What am I going to do with that? Is it going to help my skin? Yeah, it helps every part of your face, your teeth, your feet, everything. It's like,
yeah.
You can bathe. I do math sometimes because there's this whole thing about, the skin and the collagen and elasticity. Can you explain that?
Yeah, so you've never heard this phrase, but the skin is a mouth, right? We think that we only consume things through our mouth, but we also consume through our skin.
Right?
Anything that you can put in your body, anything you put on top of your body should be able to put in your body.
Anything you put on top of your body, you should be able to put in your body. So those commercial lotions that we've been using, if you can't eat it, you can't taste it, you should not be, because the skin is the biggest organ of the body.
Yeah, the skin
is Can you believe we used to put Crisco and Vaseline on our bodies? We were shining. You feel so easy, Sunday. We shining all the way up to the pulpit. You can see us coming at the back door. But we didn't know what that Crisco, that lard, and that Vaseline, made from petroleum jelly, made from gas, petroleum. And there are people who still use that today, and you can't tell them any different. Because
unless you're a doctor and you have a white coat on, they're almost near death. They don't do anything. They'll change anything at that point.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. So how do you help a person understand that this skin that we're in, that everybody wants, and the tanning beds all over the place.
Yeah.
This skin is so precious, and what you put on that skin helps the inside of the body.
Yeah.
How do you get that across to a whole nation who just don't understand its relevance? How do you do that?
That's a tough one. That's a tough one. Me personally, I like to harp on that messaging over and over. But there needs to be some type of skill set when doing it, right? Trying to make an analogy for other things.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I try to take into consideration is that, if you're vitamin D deficient, what does that tell you? That means that you have poor skin exposure to the sun, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're vitamin D deficient. It's not saying that there's something wrong with you, it's saying that you're just not doing something right. There's nothing wrong with you, you're just not doing something right. So instead of saying you have an issue, it's like, hey, you have an inconsistency with nature. Right? You're moving away from nature or natural, so that means you're moving towards disease. Because nature and disease is on a spectrum. The opposite end is disease and nature. So when you move away from nature, you're closer to disease. It's on the other end. So trying to paint that picture, letting people know that you must consume nature. You don't neglect nature because nature's going to neglect you and then leave you out to dry and leave you alone. And then what nature says, what your human body says, hey, listen, we're in this together. You're a soul inside of this vessel. You're renting this body. You don't own this body.
Mm.
Your body is saying, hey, listen, I'm giving you this cough. I'm giving you the ache. I'm giving you this. letting you know, hey, you know, you're not working with us, man. I need you to, you're in control of this suit, but I'm your suit trying to help you do what you need to do in life. But you're not being a good teammate.
Right.
I'm giving you all the signs that this hurts. This pain is here, this sneeze, this cough, this drink, this runny nose. I'm giving you the signs, right? Do something about it. Oh, you're going to ignore it? So, okay, it's like a car. Yeah, you can ignore a car for a while. You get a new car, you can't get a new body. It's just that we think that we are our body, and we're not our body. This is rented. We got to give it back one day.
Yeah.
How are you going to have it? So it's just me explaining it from that perspective, because we do identify as our body, but this is not us. You can say whatever you want to. This has to go one day. And this body has, you know, lights on the car telling you, hey, you gotta change this. This is going low. Mm-hmm. This, that's there. On a walk, do this. We say, no, we got technology. Yeah. I prefer doing the technological way to doing it. But the best way to get healthy is to go back to the original way of being healthy. There's no better way of being healthy. I lived in Europe. People walked. Everyone was slim because people walked. Cars created laziness, right?
Yeah.
And cars, it's just convenience, right? Anytime you have convenience, you have a bunch of disease.
Yeah. Ooh, say that again.
Yeah. Anytime we have convenience, we have a bunch of disease because when the remote control was developed, and now, you know, you can just press it instead of having to walk through the TV. When the elevators create it, now you don't walk up the stairs, you take the elevator. So where you would have just spent a couple calories doing that, well, now you got to go to a gym to do those calories. But a gym, even though it worked out, a gym isn't a natural place to be in. That's not natural. That's not a natural way of going on an elliptical is not natural. A stair climb is not natural. Why would you take the elevator in your apartment but go to the gym and get them a stair climb?
Why you put my business out in the street, lady? I live on the 48th floor. I'm sorry. I'm not walking up 48th floor. I'm going to the gym. I'm sorry.
Go up 20 and then take the rest of them up, right?
Well, you know, let me share this with you.
Yeah,
about a month ago, I can't remember what happened, but the elevator stopped. And I was on my way to the gym, and the elevator got stuck, and it would only go down. It wouldn't come back up. I think the gym was on the 14th floor. I said, okay, I'm going to go down, and then I'm going to walk back up. I got to the 8th floor, and the door was locked. And I was like, I am not walking up another flight of stairs to 14 to see that it is locked, too. So I came back down. But I said all that to say this. I got my workout in that day. How about that?
Yeah. You probably felt good, right?
Yes, indeed. No. I was shocked. Lance, I just love how wise you are. Yes, you are. He got that save him on. He said Mother Earth's flux. Flowing. He got his mom and dad flowing through him from the island of Jamaica. That's why. Soul Purpose Healing says, love that spectrum analysis. On one end is nature, and the other end we could call NDD, nature deficit disorder, or disease. Yes.
Yeah,
so we spend too much time in, but I learned that on Sibionic Flora. Yeah.
I've never heard that terminology, but nature deficit disorder, that's literally what it is. Sickness is nature. You're deficient in nature.
We're sitting in the box all day. We need to be outside in the sun, even if it is.
Talking to people, looking at faces, hugging people.
Thank you.
Right? You're getting the oxytocin by, you know, being near people, family members. In the sun, endorphins, serotonin. You just can't dabble in dopamine all day. Turn into a drug fiend.
Otherwise, you're going to be crazy. And I'm looking for this last promo to pay, but I am not stopping this show because I don't know what happened.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. we are.
It's not playing. So I'm not going. I am not going to commercial break. So I don't want to have that problem again. I don't know what happened, but I'm going to leave it. Sorry, I got an. Okay, that's not it. Anyway, yeah. That's one of the reasons why March before last, I think it was, we went to see Deanna in, can't remember the name of the city in Florida. Deanna, help me out here. Anyway, that morning we went to do our walk, and because I'm in this walking, I've had issues with my body, so it's like, I gotta walk every day. It's not, I don't care where I am, I'm going somewhere to walk. So we're walking down the street, and there are just trees everywhere. It's like the trees were talking to me. It's like, come this way, because they went that way, and I went this way. It's like, I'm following these trees. It's like this energy from the trees. And I didn't know, coming back to my research on trees, I didn't know that the tree roots go twice as far in the ground as they do above the ground. I am learning so much about trees and getting rid of my NDD, my nature deficit disorder, because we wake up in a box, we go in another box, we go get in our car, we go get on the bus, we go to a job or school, and we're in another box all day, and the sun is shining out there, and we're sitting inside all day, and you wonder why you have a headache, you wonder why you have a stomach, you wonder why all these things are wrong with you, because you have no nature in you, you have no sun. People laugh at me when I say, when I come in the house, I put my feet in dirt. I need to shake off all of that nonsense that was out there in the world, come home and be safe and be silent and feel good. Well, Alta, there she is. Alta, Mott Springs, Florida. I just fell in love with them. I wanted to move down there. My husband was like, we're not moving to Florida there. I'm like, okay, you say something. I'm going to find my way back. You wake up, I'm gone. Just know I'm on my way to Florida. love neighborhoods with older trees. Yes, we do. Baba Kwame Fun Horse created NDD. Oh, Kwame Fun Horse created NDD, nature deficit disorder.
Never heard of it, but that's what it is. It's nature. Yes. That's
why we do the breathing exercise this morning. And I forgot to see if we had calls. I'm so caught up in the conversation. 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak if you want to. We've got about 25 minutes here on the Female Solution. And for those who are listening on our social media place, type in what city that you're watching us from before you go to easyherbal.com. I am simply fascinated by the fact that this is, you know how you see, well, you're not a senior, so you may not see that. Seniors have a pill box every day of the week, and in that pill box, each container has about 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 pills. I had a girlfriend just passed. She was on 8 pills, and one of them was congestive heart failure. It's like, I've been knowing you for 4 years, and I didn't know. If you wasn't sick, I'd beat you in bed because I'm supposed to know that I'm your bestie, right? I digress. I say that. But all those pills, I'm not saying don't take the pills. See you in the Grand Rising. See you in the cornfield. Who said that? That's Jody from my new home in the forest, Marietta, Georgia. Viana showed us her new home, and I can't wait to get down there because it is huge. Like, we can have somewhere to sleep. We can sleep on the floor. We can sleep in the bathroom. We can sleep on the back porch. We can sleep under a tree. It is huge. So I'm looking forward to that. I digress. What was I talking about, Lane?
Pills. Your friend was on pills.
On the pills. 7 days a week, you got to take so many pills. You can wean it. Okay, the medical professional will never tell you this, to wean yourself off of it, but you can't. I don't take anything anymore. I was a diabetic, and remember, go to diabeticdonut.com. There's a free download there on how I reverse type 2 diabetes, and I did that with CMOS, and I did that with my detox drink, apple beet, cucumber, lemon, ginger, kale. It's all free. The recipe is right there, so go to diabeticdonut.com. You do not have to have disease in your body. Dr. Sabi said it. mucus is the first, is the only disease. All the only other stuff is a side effect.
Yeah.
Deborah says, I am watching from the south side of Chicago. Thank you, Deborah. And I, Susie says, I cannot wait to have y'all here, girl. We can't wait either. I just want to come with cold, not when it's warm in Chicago. It just makes no sense to me to go somewhere warm when it's warm here. We get, what, three good months. I'm not going to say July anymore. August, give me a little July, August, September. After that, it's cold in Chicago. So that makes a difference. But that sea moss is making, this is what I've noticed. On the days that I forget to have it, because I like to bring it first thing in the morning because it really fills me up, the days I don't take it, I'm off center.
Yeah.
And you can feel it in your body. What's your regimen?
So for me, it's, you know, I take sea moss. I take it, when I need to, right? I take it, I know I take a lot after I work out. Because I'm very mineral depleted. I work out very hard. I wake up, I'll probably eat some teff. With teff is for porridge, teff for green. With
you have
teff.
What?
Teff. It's a porridge. T-E-F-F.
Is that Jamaican?
No, it's Ethiopian.
Really? T-E-F-F.
Yeah.
Is that like... Is it like grits or oatmeal or something like that?
Yeah, it's like a sweet brown grits.
Okay.
Yeah, like a sweet brown grits.
Okay.
Very high.
Do you put butter and stevia and all that stuff in it or what?
No butter. No butter. I stay away from oils. Very little juice because I like fiber. Fiber does more for the body than most things. I eat that with some hemp seeds, nuts, some coconut shavings or cacao probably or some cinnamon. Doctor that thing, I'll make it look really good. Typically before that I have some fruit. Like right now I'm eating watermelon. I'm a big
watermelon.
Yeah. I'm a big watermelon guy, especially the white part, because it has citrulline, prevents you oxidized blood flow. For sickle cell, I need blood flow.
Whoa, back up. You went through that way too quick. Say that again.
So the white part of the watermelon, it has citrulline. Citrulline is a precursor to arginine, which is a precursor to nitric oxide. The endothelial cells releases nitric oxide, which dilates the veins so that more blood can flow, so it helps you with blood pressure and just blood flow, period. So with sickle cell, you get a clot. It doesn't clump up and it doesn't, block the passageway for those blood cells. Yeah, so the white part is really good for sickle cell. People with sickle cell come from the tropics. Watermelon comes from the tropics. Typically, that's how that works, right? Something like that, water. I drink sea moss. I drink sarsaparilla, sorrel, blue vervain. And I have a bunch of different herbs that I drink as well. And we have products coming out with all these other herbs. We got to slowly interject it into the system. But sea moss is possibly sea moss is like Superman, right? You have all these superheroes. Sea moss is Superman. Let's say sarsaparilla is Batman. Blue vervain's Flash, right? You have all these different superheroes. Sea moss does the majority, but you have some that do other things better than what Superman would do, that one thing, right? What else? I'm a vegan, whole food plant-based vegan. I've been a vegan for 6 years. I'm
really?
Basketball vegan, yeah. I even have a tattoo right there.
All right, now, Mr. V. Okay.
Just to finish, what I was saying about my diet, she just asked the question. She was like, Lance, what is your favorite fat sources? My favorite fat sources are nuts and seeds and avocado, nut seeds, avocado, cacao, hemp, coconut.
Hemp is a fat source?
Hemp?
Yeah.
Hemp is extremely high in fat.
Really?
Yes.
I have no idea.
Yeah. hemp, cacao. Cacao is high in fat. Avocado is high in fat.
Yeah.
They're all fat. Typically, if you can make a butter or oil from it, it's high in fat.
And I have been, since I've learned about avocados and digestion and something else, I can't remember what it was. But I was like, okay, so I started putting avocados in my smoothie with my sea moss. It tastes delicious.
Try putting some avocado in a chocolate smoothie.
Oh.
It'll make you rich. Rich. Oh, yeah.
Okay, so what kind of chocolate do you use? Because we're not using this chocolate milk. So so how are you doing that?
Pure cacao. Just pure cacao.
Organic cacao.
Cacao. Raw organic cacao.
Okay.
Cacao. Yeah, in Jamaica, you know, we have a cacao tree that grows across the street from my family's.
Get out of here. Don't
get it off the tree and not eat out the tree.
Ladies of the Female Solution. Can we have our next conference in Jamaica? I know y'all live over here. We need to have a conference in Jamaica. We need a conference in Jamaica. Jody says, yeah, I want a T-shirt. We all want a T-shirt, okay? She also says, Diana says, yes,
hemp oil.
And Jody says... Hemp is great for your brain, and so is cacao. Love this cacao powder. Am I saying that right? Cacao powder. And the only place that I know to get it is at Costco, even though I'm sure somebody else has it.
Or you can get it on Amazon. Amazon has all this stuff.
Yes, they do, and I can't say Amazon, but I order from them because it's just so convenient. I'm a cooking store. I can't say them. I love the store. How do you continue to give your money? Somebody you can't send. And I'm not giving it to you. I'm giving it to the supplier. That's how
you really are. You know, you give a small portion to Amazon, but you're giving it a lot to the people. You know, we're going to put our stuff in it, too, because that's the biggest market in the world, right?
In the world.
Yeah, people will skip over you. If you don't have it on Amazon, they don't think you're legit.
They sure don't. Let me tell you. We had an Amazon account, the Higher Learning Network, and we only kept it long enough to make enough money to hire a grant writer to help us get funding for our projects, like the homeless project, in which I did talk about, but I did not talk about the youth, global virtual youth talent. Am I saying that wrong? I'm saying that wrong. Let me find the banner, the promo for it. That way I don't have to worry about missing on it. The Global Virtual Teen Talent Contest. We have a contest where we encourage our youth between the ages of 13 and 19.
Attention, all talented employees of 13 to 19. Are you ready to show the world what you got? We're excited to announce the latest Global Virtual Teen Talent Contest, where you win cash prizes and scholarships by performing your unique talent. Here's how to participate. 1. Record a 1-minute video of yourself performing your talent. 2. Upload the video. Link in description or comment. 3. Submit your video by the deadline. We're looking for a wide range of talent, from singing and dancing to magic tricks and comedy skits. So whether you're a musician, an actor, or a chef, you want to see your work talent. The top talents will be selected by a panel of judges and will be a non-mature reaction. So don't wait. Start filming and good luck.
And good luck to our contestants. If you have children or know of children between the ages of 13 and 19, have them send in a 1-minute video clip from YouTube, from their own YouTube channel, not an MOV file, and they can compete in the Global Virtual Teen Talent Contest, which airs every last Saturday of the month. So it's coming up April 29th. So I know you know some children, so send them this way, Curse. Lance Curse. What did I call you? Curse Lance.
No. Everybody calls me my last name. That's funny that you...
Oh, do they? Okay, good.
Of course, because you call people by their last name.
I got to ask you this question. Why do men hit each other on the butt when they make a pass, when they make a goal or whatever they call it?
Good is a good job thing. There's nothing sexual about it. It's just a good job, man. Just
Okay, but why can't be on the butt? I could be on the arm. I don't. There's things about sports I don't understand, so I have to ask.
Yeah, that's, you know, this is something that's been around for hundreds, about around 100 years. I don't know. It's like a man to man pain. I'm pretty sure there's some things that women do with each other that, you know, men would never understand. But it's one of those things where you're like, yo, good job. And, you know, we don't think anything past that. We just, it's not even a thought. Like, when we do it, it's so unconscious, so subconscious, we don't even think. We don't even know we're doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because men, we like to be, the biggest thing you can compliment a man on is his work ethic or what he did, his job. Like, we don't care about how he looks, you know. Did he do a good job? Thank you. Because if you let me know I did a good job, that means I'm competent at what I'm doing. That means my life's gonna be better.
Okay.
Yeah. Like me, I don't care about nothing until you tell me, hey, good job. All right. Thank you. That's the biggest compliment. That's all I need. I don't care about no other compliment.
Really?
Yeah. Just a good job.
Well, you've done a very good job,
Dick.
And we could not have done it without you. And I want to thank you for hanging in there with us, because we have had all kinds of technical issues this morning, because there are powers that be, the care system, they want us to remain sick forever so they can get us our prescriptions. That's just available. Now, we are being joined by our executive producer of the Female Solution, and her name is Diana. We're being joined by our executive producer of the Female Solution, and her name is Diana.
Yes. Yeah, I hear you. I'm just trying to figure out which of these windows to close, because I know I have two windows open. Yes.
Look, now purdy and her purple is morning.
Wait a minute. Let's figure it out.
Look, now purdy and her purple is morning.
Okay, here we go.
She's on her way out the door. I know. Uh-oh, there she goes.
Uh-oh,
she'll be back.
I hit the wrong one.
It's important that we...
All right, here we go. All right, let me find it. Oops. Nope. Nope. Okay. All right.
About 5 minutes. 515-605-9325. First one to speak, and there she is again. Let's see if we can get her back.
I'm back. Yeah, I had Facebook up on, and then I also came up on stream. I go, oh, okay, it's me that's got the echo.
Yeah.
Fix it.
Yeah, we had all kind of craziness this morning, but that does not stop the message from getting through, because those who need to hear it will hear. You got any questions to ask Lance before he leaves? He's leaving in about 5 to 7 minutes.
Yes. Well, you know what? I did want to, you know, you got me dying laughing about the, a virtual pat on the behind. You're doing a great job. But I wanted to ask you about the watermelon rind. You know, I'm always laughing at my mother, because, you know, she's from the South, and when they eat a watermelon, they like scrape the rind with their teeth. You know, I'm like, oh, my, that's so country. But you just said that that's actually a part. Explain that again about what the rind does on the watermelon, terms of opening your
Yeah, that's a great question. But do you know about, like, statins?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think it logged on twice. Okay, we're good. So do you know about statins for blood pressure?
I don't think so, no.
So the doctor gives out a drug called a statin. People have high blood pressure, whatnot, to help their blood flow better, their heart, so their heart can relax, right?
Mm-hmm.
Things you can give them, you give them magnesium that can let that blood, you know, the muscles in the blood and the heart, you know, flow better.
Mm-hmm.
But there's, you know, that you have endothelial cells, right?
Mm-hmm.
Inner lining of your cell, your veins, your arteries releases a chemical
So typically, you know, people are much smarter than they think they are, right?
Leave a message. Have a blessed day. Bye.
Record your message at the tone. When you are finished recording, press pound. To cancel, press star.
Intrinsically, people know I need watermelon because it's from the same environment that my essence are from. So basically, you know, so think about it like this. Typically, when you go outside and, you know, you're in a black neighborhood, they're like, oh, you got dark.
Mm-hmm.
Make a big issue about that, right?
Yes, I've been through that, yeah.
Black and a berry, sweet juice, baby, you need to know.
Yeah. So they say, oh, you got dark. Well, essentially what they're saying is they're trying to steer you into not getting darker, a.k.a. not getting vitamin D.
Mm.
Oh, you're a watermelon eater. Oh, you're not trying to reverse any of the high blood pressure or blood issues you have because you live above the 23rd parallel. If you live above the Tropic of Cancer, above Cuba, you're going to have some issues with your blood if your ancestors are from that part of Africa where a lot of our ancestors come from, right? Our nostrils are wide, our hair stands up, skin's dark. We're going to have issues living above Cuba. So anything above Cuba, anything in the U.S., we're going to have issues.
Wow.
We belong in tropical zones. We're tropical human beings because our nostrils are wide.
Right.
We need to be in a hotter climate. If our nostrils were tighter, well, then we could live great above that 23rd parallel. We'd be good if we were in Chicago. Because our nostrils are tight and it can minimize the air before it goes into our, yeah, the hair would drop down to cover the neck, because it's cold, like a hoodie or a scarf.
Mm.
Hair initially grows up to block the sun from hitting us. The neck is exposed to cool us down.
Wow.
Yeah. So that watermelon is literally the biggest piece. Never be afraid of eating watermelon. Never be afraid of getting darker. I won't be as black as I can possibly be because I'm healthy.
Oh, they really don't want this information to get through, do they?
I don't care what society says. You're prettier. I don't care. What's going to make me healthier? Me being dark. Me suffering.
Wow. I mean, it may recently grow.
It's a tropical fruit, but it's only anytime you have tropical-like conditions, watermelon's there. So that's why you only get it around the summer. So right now, the summer's coming back around. It's April. Yeah, you're gonna have watermelon whenever. It's from April to September or October. That's when you get watermelon. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Spring and the summer is when you get watermelon. But in Jamaica, we get it year-round. I was eating watermelon in December in Jamaica because it's tropical.
I knew December was the time to go to Jamaica. I knew it.
Gotta get some watermelon.
Naima, can we say Female Solution Annual Women of Wonder Awards in Jamaica?
Yes, we can. All right, Deborah, you heard that. Book that
plan. Okay, Deborah. Deborah is our third Saturday host from 12 noon until 2 p.m. on the Female Solution, and she's a travel agent as well. So Deborah's going to be in charge of that. We coming. So, Laz, we need to know when you're going so we can come too. Watermelon is so good for you. It is also very grounding in addition to what you're sharing, Laz. The white part, right? So there's the red part, the juicy part, and then the rind, what we call the rind. We should be eating the rind, too. I saw an old man eating rind one day, and I looked at him. I was like, why are you eating it? He said, baby, if you knew what I knew, you'd eat it, too. And I was like, oh, okay.
I got a question. Cause last year, I tried to grow watermelon. I think I maybe waited too late in the year.
Where do you live?
I live in Chicago, so it's not a watermelon
cold
climate.
No,
you know,
at all.
That's why. But what happened was when I got ready to harvest it, there was no red part. It was only the white part. And I thought, well, maybe it's because I didn't let it grow long enough. But I ate it. You know, I was only one of the family that ate it. Like, yeah, everybody was going. But, you know, I ate it because I thought, well, it might be something nutritional about it. But now, was that an unripe watermelon, or was that just a watermelon that had only rind, and was that could I have gotten any nutritional value out of that?
Well, I'm amazed that it even grew, right? Because so you have fruits that depend on cold temperature, like berries, and you have fruits like watermelon that hate cold temperatures.
Yeah.
So,
oh.
It was summertime, but it was, you know, summertime in the north, so.
Yeah, so there's a period called dormancy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Meaning it's cold. So, like, fruits that grow above the 23rd parallel or above the tropic of the subtropics, they need to be submerged underground for 700 to 1,000 hours under 47 degrees Fahrenheit. That's called dormancy.
Oh.
You put a watermelon through that that pressure, it's not going to grow. Because a watermelon is a tropical fruit. It cannot be in dormancy.
Mm.
So that's why I've never seen someone grow watermelon in Chicago, because it's just not set up for that way. Like the apples you get here in America are not the apples you get in Jamaica. We don't know what those apples look like here in Jamaica.
Oh, wow.
They can't grow as the environment. So everything is completely different. So, yeah.
Well, now I got another question, because a lot of our fruits that we eat here are probably hothouse grown, where, you know, the temperatures and everything are artificially created, the lighting is artificially created.
Mm-hmm.
What does that do when you, or what does it not do when you are eating fruits and vegetables that are grown in a hothouse with artificial lighting as opposed to sunlight that actually has vitamin D? Would there be a lessening of nutritional value?
I believe so. Me personally, you know, I typically don't speak on things I don't know, because I don't like put them in my mouth. I believe that it will have a lesser value because it's not made in an organic, natural state. But then again, if you're mimicking, like, the sunlight, like, let's say right now, you know, you probably have LED lights in your house.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you probably want to put incandescent light bulbs. Like, that's, like, the light bulb that has the electricity. You know, the old-school incandescent light bulbs. That's mimicking the sun.
Oh.
Right? So the incandescent light bulbs, you may want to substitute all those out for the incandescent. If you're mimicking the sun and you're getting that full spectrum of color and light from the sunlight, cool, right? Because, you know, we live in an environment. We live in, like the last podcast we have, we live in convenience. We can't inconvenience ourselves in a convenient life. We won't make money. We won't live. Right? So a lighthouse may be the best option for you if you're living in temperature house, if you're living in Chicago, or if you're living above that. You know, Chicago is probably like 39th parallel, 40th
Ooh.
Parallel, 46th parallel, right? Even if you're above like 35th parallel, that means you're out of the subtropical zone. So that 35th parallel also kind of lines up with the Macy-Dixon line, which is the 37th parallel. Yeah.
How? Where do we go, Lance, to find this, to understand this? Because I hear you, but I still don't understand these parallels. The 35th parallel, the 39th parallel.
You know, they stopped teaching geography in school, where you understand the globe and you know how the latitude, longitude, and all that is measured. They stopped really teaching that because I think that teachers probably stop knowing it.
Well, I think they know, but it's better for you to not know for them, right? Because the more you know, the more you can help yourself.
Right.
And the less sickness you have.
Yeah.
So, because it's better for you to rely on. No one who's trying to take money from you is going to give you knowledge not for you to not take money from them.
You got that right.
More money.
I got a question. Viata had a question here. Oh, there it is. So Purpose Healing. Viata says, does Jamaica still have seeds in the watermelons? Costa Rica still has seeds, but they're hard to find in Orlando. It's hard to find here in Chicago, too. Everywhere I go, it's a watermelon with no seeds. I don't do seedless watermelons
because
I know it's not real. It's manufactured.
Can you guys see my screen?
Yeah, we see you.
Okay, so here we go. So what we're looking at right now, this red area?
Oh, no, we don't see that.
All right.
He can share it, or?
I don't know, Naima. You're the technical expert on this.
I have it. Share, I'm sharing it now. You see it?
No, we don't. Oh, there it is. Okay, so let me add the stream. There we go.
Oh, you can see it. All right.
There we go.
Oh, okay. So far, For all of y'all who didn't have geography in school,
yeah.
Pay attention.
So,
okay.
You see this red area here?
No, I don't. Which block is it? Put your cursor on.
Oh, this one here.
This whole red area. All
oh, is that right? Is that right
third,
here?
Yeah, the third.
The big one, the big third, right there. Okay.
Yeah. This whole red area, this whole area in the middle here, right?
Okay. Okay.
The tropics. You have two tropics. You have the Tropic of Cancer, Tropic of Capricorn, where they end. The equator is in the middle of it, right? Typically, people who are of African ancestry come from right here in that tropic.
Yeah.
Right? Along that coast. Whenever you go above this line, above that red line, that's when you begin to have a lot of sickness if your ancestors are from this region.
Wow.
Oh.
You're going to get a bunch of blood conditions, a bunch of, you know, heart-related conditions once you exit out that red line.
Okay, now explain to us exactly what this is again, Lance.
So this is a map explaining the lines and how your body lines up with those lines, what's going to happen to your body if you leave these zones, if you leave those lines.
Oh.
Right? If your hair grows up like an afro and your nostrils are wide, typically you're from this region of the world.
Okay.
Right? Because it's hot and humid and the sun is more intense there, so your body has to match the environment.
Right.
So when you leave an environment like this and you go above that red line, well then now that's when disease starts to happen.
Oh.
To the higher degree, right? So let's say this, you see this dotted line here?
Yeah.
That's the subtropics. That's where the subtropics end at.
Oh.
So anything above that, like a Chicago would be somewhere up here.
That's why
we're so cold and so much disease.
You're gonna have, you know, not only blood conditions, you're gonna have a lot of mental issues because you're lacking light. So you're gonna have seasonal affective disorder probably year round.
Wow.
You're gonna wanna shoot, kill, stab, fight, argue with people a lot more.
Wow.
What is the remedy for that? More sunlight, change of diet?
All of it.
Everything you can think of is the remedy is the change of diet. It's the you may want to get those incandescent lights, right? Because those artificial lights are doing a number to you. You don't even want those artificial lights hitting your skin.
Wow.
Mm.
I got a question then. After the pandemic, when, you know, they were having everybody stay inside and, you know, locked down and no one's going outside, and then it's like people exploded with violent insanity.
Yeah.
Could that have been an effect of absence of sunlight and
absolutely
having an effect on the brain?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Wow. Yeah. So typically right just before spring, that's when you see a lot of suicides. Just before spring.
Right before spring, that's when a lot of suicides happen. Really? Why is that? Because
they've been inside all winter.
They've been inside all winter. The disease has been festering. A lot of flus happen just before winter as well, like in February, March.
Yeah.
That's when the peak of it is February, March, the peak of flu season. So because it's being developed over those 4 months of winter.
Okay.
So imagine instead of them pushing the flu shots, they just push people to go outside more in the winter.
They can't make any money off of that. Right, you going outside.
Nobody in the world would make money if you make people healthy. There's no economy.
Wow, we have to come up with a health time economy because otherwise we keep repressing knowledge that could make a well society. So we have to create a wellness economy. Because as long as it's based on sick care, then they're going to keep not letting people know that they have the power to heal themselves.
Well, think about it like this. Think about it like this, you know, and I'm not trying to make an excuse for the system. It's just that, you know, these systems are set up for people who don't want to do the job. Because most people, you tell them what to do, how to get healthy, how to eat, they don't do it.
Mm-mm, sure don't. I learned that with diabetes. Yeah, I'm sorry. Go right ahead.
So therefore, even though people know all the knowledge, we live in an era of knowledge, most people don't want to provide those structures that have consistency and reliability and accountability. Most people give away their accountability to a pill because they're like, yeah, I'm working out too much. Let me just take this pill.
Yeah.
Most people know. I demonize, you know, Western medicine as well, but I have to demonize them to the point where they have their equal share because they're plugging in a piece of where they fit because they know the majority of people are not going to do the work it takes to be healthy. And we can't have an economy of people that are not healthy out there doing whatever because now it's worse for other people. So I have to provide at least a little bit of solution to keep you alive so you can continue making money. Right?
Right.
I don't demonize them 100% fully because once you get in the health, like me, I'm in the health world. Once you get in it, you understand how people think. You're like, now I see why they do that. Because people aren't who they say they are. They say they'll do it, but they never do it.
Yeah.
Right? They say they want to be healthy, but they don't want the work it takes to be healthy. I've spoken to hundreds and thousands of people. They don't want it.
We have been indoctrinated since birth, and we do what other people do because we don't want to feel uncomfortable doing something on our own. That takes too much. Jody says, can we grow watermelons well in Georgia? We're starting our gardens now. Okay, Georgia.
Yes, you got some of the best watermelons.
Girl, we'll be down there. We're going to Georgia, and then we're going to run on up to Jamaica. But right now, we're going to run to the phone line. You got time for a call, Lance?
Oh, no, I'm here.
Okay, 706-202, I do believe that is Baba Kwame's sun horse from Georgia. Go ahead,
Grand
Baba Rising. Kwame.
Grand,
Baba Kwame's sun horse.
Grant, can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear. Go right ahead.
Grand Rising, and assalamu alaikum, and to Brother Lance, wealth of information, my brother, you know.
Yes.
In fact, Encyclopedia of Life, he's talking about. And the part about healthy is the part about heal, because it's the beginning of that word. How do our bodies are made to heal. Where do you put it and what you put in it? Because when he was talking about the grid, and that's what I say, is that there's an electrical current that runs through this earth. And where we come in at and where we come into nature, we connect to that we plug into that energy. But when you put asphalt and concrete, you disconnect the human from it. You ban them from being able to receive those energies that come through the earth as dust that comes down from the sun and the moon. So what we're looking at is how do we balance ourselves? This is why we come back to nature. And this is why I was talking, and I heard you talk about nature deficit disorder, because that's what we're having now, is that we've unplugged us. We've made people orphans from Mother Earth. We've made people orphans from Mother Earth by herding them out of nature and putting them into an urban area that disconnects you from the frequency of her to nourish you. And so it's all of those things that he's sharing, and especially in the being able to eat what is seasonal, because we eat to fill up, but we don't eat as the order of the season. Watermelons are seasonal foods, and then beans are seasonal. So when you get back on the order of nature, your diet should reflect nature's production. So nature produces certain things at certain times of a season, and these are the things that are most conducive for our health. So I commend him for what he's sharing, and we need to begin to understand none but ourselves can free our mind. And ask the question, how does this free me? Because, you know, you can enslave yourself to food.
Yes, sir. You are right on target. When as I said earlier, we leave one box and we go right into another box. And I'm a prime example. That's why, you know, the sun is creeping through the window. And sometime Tony will come in, my husband Tony will come in, and I'm sitting here in the chair just sitting in the sun. Are you okay? Baby, I'm fine. I'm sitting here soaking up the sun. You ain't got the TV on, you got the radio. I'm sitting up here soaking up the sun, and I know I should probably be up on the roof, but right now I'm in this uninterrupted sun experience. This is what I'm having. I'm good. Trust me on this one. And
Baba Kwame, he hit it on the head. I couldn't have put it better. Like, no one could put it better than what he just put it. He's absolutely 100% correct. You know, we should be the exact same philosophy. The more you remove yourself from nature, the more you disconnect yourself from nature, the more you think that you can replace what God created. Good luck.
Yeah.
So now I got another question then, because I'm reading about how some schools have changed the way they operate and have most of their classrooms outside where children have sunlight, they can run through the grass, they can play, they can learn about nature instead of this, you know, sit down with your hands folded behind the desk in this dark classroom. And, of course, they are seeing that children are developing healthier emotionally and socially because of the freedom of being outside in a natural environment, not repressed and restricted, and getting sunshine. So do you see that as perhaps even a remedy of this difficulty we're having with hostility in school, where it's becoming more, well, it's actually operated like a prison now, and the violence is just increasing because of so much pent-up frustration, restricted movement, and lack of sunlight, and, of course, bad food, non-nutritious food. So do you see if we change that whole atmosphere and make classrooms more outdoors and freer and more expressive, do you see that as possibly solving the problem that we have?
A variable in solving the problem. Right, because it's multivariate. It's probably about 1,000 things we got to do, right?
Yeah.
But think about it. Where do they get the common way of living in America? Where do we get the common way of dressing in America? We don't get it from a tropical region.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We get it from a cold region. Everything's coming out of European culture where it's cold.
Yep.
You have to put people in the class to keep them away from the environment, because the environment's going to harm them.
That's the thinking of the people who created that system.
Well, that's the thinking, and that's the environment. If I lived in that environment, which I did live in Europe, it's cold, so I'm going to stay inside, right?
Right.
Yeah.
But you cannot now say, hey, keep people inside where the weather is the best. What? We're depriving people of so many different nutrients from the sun, vitamin D, which is actually a hormone, which controls hormones. That's probably why a lot of people have endometriosis and all these other, you know, things that a lot of women are having, right? Because the vitamin D controls 300 to 400 genes. It's not a vitamin, it's a hormone. If you don't have it, you are not yourself.
Vitamin D is a hormone?
It's a hormone. It's not a vitamin, it's a hormone. It controls a turn-off gene. So if you're deprived of vitamin D or sunlight, you are a sick human being. Like, it is what it is. But I'm not trying to demonize the system or Europeans. I'm not trying to demonize anyone. I'm just trying to put things in perspective. Don't leave people in a building, in an apartment, when you live in an environment where it's great. No, you keep them inside in the Arctic or something like that. That's cool because it's so cold in there, out there. But if you're in the middle of summer, get those kids outside. Get yourself outside. Get around people. Start talking to people. The environment changes how you think, right?
Yeah.
Typically, when you're in an environment that's cold, you have to be very structured, very clean, very, very rigid and to the point, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you're in an environment that's very that's warm, you're more relaxed.
Right. Yeah.
You're gonna share. You're gonna do this because in a warm environment, there's more fruit, there's more food.
Right.
You're gonna share more. Well, here you go, because there's more of those in the tree.
But in January in the UK, you're not going to share more often because you don't know when another food's going to come by. It just doesn't provide it that way. So you're going to be a lot colder. When I lived in Europe, I was a lot colder because the environment made me like that. Me as a person, I was like that. The environment, you have to adapt to the environment. So, yeah, it's just going to be cold.
And the fear is that there's not enough because the environment's not producing it. And if you store some food, you're afraid it's going to run out. And so it creates a culture of non-sharing or fear of lack because you don't see it being plentiful.
There you go. And that's it. I'm not demonizing a person. It's the environment that makes a person like that, right? I go to Jamaica, and I'm mad sometimes because people are slow and they don't take things serious. Wait, and I'm like, well, I am in the tropics, right? I know they're gonna be an hour late because they don't care. But when I was living in Istanbul, Turkey, and when I was living in these different regions, Amsterdam and stuff, it was on time, right there. Your advantages and your disadvantages. I'm not saying that, the tropics are all great and Europe is all bad. It has its advantages and disadvantages. So
that's one thing. That's one thing they do say about being in tropical islands is that you cannot be in a hurry because they are on a whole nother level. Ain't nobody over here rushing.
You might
want to drink a glass of sea moss before you leave so you can be full before you get there. I've learned that the hard way. Yeah.
When you travel, you get to see that America is the best. You can get the best of both worlds in America. A lot of people demonize America. I don't demonize it because I've traveled the whole world, played in China, lived in Egypt. I've seen everything. America's it's all put in one, right? When you get everything. And you're not lacking too much here, you're not lacking too much there. It's really in the middle. But, sometimes we like to glorify other cultures like if they're the best. Like, they got some flaws, too.
I'll take Jamaica flaws any day over America when you get too Calvin. I just want to go sit in the sun by a tree. Y'all just drop me off by a tree, leave me on the island, and I'm good.
Listen, I love my country. I love all the islands. But there's a reason why the economy struggles because people don't want to work.
Yeah.
Now, if you have food growing and you don't necessarily have to put effort toward it, then that's not going to be a motivation to work because things will grow if you do nothing. So, I can understand why that culture would evolve that way.
Yeah, but now they're in a way, but the majority of people there don't grow their own stuff. They depend on KFC.
Well, if you got to pay money for food instead of letting it grow off the ground, you got to have a work economy.
Yeah.
But they don't want a work economy because it's too high and they don't want to do certain things. It's not structured, right?
But KFC can't have it both ways. If you're going to buy outside sources of food that requires money, then that means you have to work for money.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are going to live off the land and be relaxed and non-stressed and non-rushed, then that's what you have to adapt to, that kind of diet, that kind of lifestyle, self-sufficiency. So, like you say, America can show you both sides, and you decide what fits the lifestyle you want to choose.
For you. Because the majority of people are not going to live like how you are going to live. If you want to be healthy, the majority of people don't care about health until they're almost about to die.
Right.
Yeah.
Until you go get a diagnosis that says you have diabetes, high blood pressure, cancer, whatever. Then you start paying attention.
Don't care. That's that 80-20 rule. 80% of people just don't care.
Yeah.
Right? I've spoken and been around people. The majority of people I talk to, they don't care.
Is that an American mindset or is that a world mindset? The people that don't care. That's the world. Okay.
That's the world because once you get exposed to convenience, it's hard to go back.
If
I now say, hey, I have a UFO that can get you from here to the next state in 2 seconds, you're going to want to take that. You're not going to want to drive. You're not going to want to walk or ride a bike. You want to pass the easy route because you're exposed to it already.
Mm-hmm.
In America, most parts of the world, you're exposed to high technology. You would never want to go back to growing your own food. I want to grow my own food. When I can go get
somebody else's system ticket, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not understanding in order to grow their own food, for somebody to grow their food for you, they have to grow for a large quantity of people.
Mm.
Now, if you grow for a large quantity of people, how do you keep inventory and produce fresh? So there's drawback, but how do I now tell somebody who's making $1 million and they're living a convenient lifestyle to not inconvenience themselves? Oh, I'm going to lose my money if I inconvenience myself. I have to continue living convenient.
Mm-hmm.
But they're never going to go back because they're exposed to it.
Mm-hmm.
We just have to be honest with the reality of this world. If you're going to live that way, the majority of people are not going to live that way. You
mm-hmm.
care about your health, the majority of people don't care about their health.
Yeah.
So they pay the price. So
they have to pay the price. But a lot of people, they want a Lamborghini for a Honda price, though. they want to pay $200 a month for a car that is a $20,000 a month car.
Yeah.
And they think, I should have it. Well, what do you mean you should have that? You can't have your cake and eat it too when it comes to health and making money. You have to inconvenience yourself and typically live without money, but be rich in resources, or have money and be poor in resources.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Resources. That's typically how it is. Yeah, some people can do both, but how are you going to gain the knowledge for resources and money at the same time?
Right. Right. There's a certain choice you have to make. So even when people discover that the food they're eating is slowly poisoning them to death and they're going to have to go through uncomfortable medical procedures, they would still rather have the convenience of going to purchase food than digging the dirt in their own yard and growing food themselves.
Yeah, because they'll lose money. And what makes our economy run, what keeps me on this Mac computer, what gives me this iPhone, what allows me to do work, money, right? What allows me to live in this apartment in Miami, my money. You know, if I didn't make money, I couldn't live. All right, so,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I had the knowledge before I had the money. Right, so now I can use it for my betterment, but one has to come before the other, and it takes time to learn how to live off the land and learn how to make money.
Mm.
Yeah, it's difficult. Most people know one or the other. People know how to live off the land if they want to. People in America know how to make money. Now, if you do both at the same time, you're a dangerous human being.
Well, that's my goal.
I know that's right. I know that's right. And I am going to be updating my blog as I always do on zeldaspeaks.wordpress.com. We are officially in the after show, but I want people to know that any of the information that you share with us is going to be on my blog, zeldaspeaks.wordpress.com. And I want you to give us some, like, top maybe three tips.
You guys have a call, too. I don't know if you took 773-977. I don't know if you took
We'll take all the calls, but I'm here, man. I'm here. Any questions, T-Moss, anything?
All right, well, let's get some calls in here. 773-977. You are live on the Female Solution Grand Rising. What's your name? And where are you calling from?
Good morning. This is Lois calling from Chicago, Illinois. And glory be to God for everybody today. Hi. You know, the watermelon, I this is such a wonderful topic. And thank you, Brother Lance. And I'm just wondering, Brother Lance, are you related to Squire Lance?
To who, Lance?
Squire Lance.
Squire Lance.
Squire, S-Q-U-I-R-E, Squire.
Oh, Squire Lance. No, his name is Lance Kern.
Oh, Kern. Okay. All right. Thank you. The last time I was in the Bahamas, I'd say about 1997, 96, the watermelons were like $50. I'm wondering how much are the watermelons now? And that information on the watermelons today is just a blessing from God. I'm going to start eating to the wine now. And thank you so much for this time. This is Lois in Chicago.
We call that the white meat. Thank you, Lois. Appreciate that, girl. Yeah. Go ahead, Lance.
Yeah. Well, she was asking about the price of water, right?
Watermelon.
Yeah. Yeah, so it depends on where you're from, right, or where you're at.
Did you say $50?
Bahamas. Yes. So I just wonder, how much are the watermelons? Does anyone know? And I know here in Chicago, there I bought one for $8.98 a couple of days ago, and it was seedless, and it was so hard I couldn't cut it. I took it back.
Oh no! You don't want to eat seedless. If it ain't got a seed, you don't even want it. I get it from a brother on the Dan Ryan Expressway right off of 95th Street. He got a whole truck of watermelon. They pay $20 for it. I'll pay $20, yeah, the Mississippi watermelon. I'll pay $20 for a good watermelon because it ain't nothing like a good watermelon. Ain't nothing worse than a bad watermelon. Oh, Lord have mercy.
Yeah, sweet, no seed.
I don't know about the 50, though. I'll pay 20. I don't know about that 50.
Laboratory.
Yeah. Well,
to answer her question, everything's based on supply and demand, right? Where do you have the highest supply? Well, you know, I mean, then it's going to be cheaper. Wherever you have the lowest supply, right, it's going to be
higher,
right? So, you know, watermelon doesn't typically grow in Orlando. Like, it's hard for watermelon to grow outside that 35th parallel, that dotted line I showed you guys. That dotted line is a lot. There's a lot behind those lines, right? There's a lot of knowledge of knowing what's going on. So above that dotted line, yeah, everything is going to be more expensive. It's like, you know, anywhere things don't grow, like if bananas don't grow in Chicago, it's going to be more expensive.
Right.
But they grow plentiful here in Miami, so it's going to be less expensive. Watermelon's going to be less expensive. I bought mine for $10. A big, big one, a huge one. Like, I could eat 2 days, 3 days off the one I have.
Really? For $10?
Yeah.
See, now $10. I told you we need to be in Florida.
Yeah, but then keep in mind, everyone wants to be here, so the price to live here.
Everything is high as giraffe.
Right.
Yeah.
So where the food would be less expensive, the natural food, the price of living is going to be more expensive because everyone wants that same access.
Yeah.
I have another question since you mentioned supply and demand, and we all know that the government has done this when they pay farmers not to grow in order to keep the price high. And I think that's just atrocious because there's enough land in this world for everybody to eat. And we have transportation systems to transport food wherever it doesn't grow. So there's really no reason for anybody to be hungry. And yet, because the incentive or the intention is to keep the price high in order to make a profit, farmers will sometimes be paid to not grow food.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening now.
That is changeable. I believe it's changeable. I believe that people can choose to help the earth be as plentiful as it can be so that everybody can eat. And I believe we can create an economy that's not based on someone getting a profit, but it's based on everyone getting what they need.
Yeah.
And no one suffering. I believe we can do that. But what are your thoughts on that? The fact that, you know, we're actually artificially being made to pay more for food.
Yeah. Oh man, that's a loaded question, and I love talking about it, man. So you have to keep the price of living at a certain price, right? You know, for people to play the game, right? That's just econ, right? Because you know, if you don't, then everything just goes haywire, right? What you're saying goes against capitalism, right? Mm-hmm. If you go against capitalism, what are we going to have, a barter system?
Well, now, what do we have before we had capitalism?
Come on now, teach.
What would happen if people just shared and everybody got what they need and a profit was not necessary because all you need basically is your food, clothing, and shelter. What if there was no need for a profit because every
technology that comes with no first world things?
Not necessarily. It comes with a mind, does it, because that's part of what they contribute. You look at a beehive, they produce honey.
Yeah.
Everybody and that beehive survives, and everybody contributes. Nobody's punching the clock. Nobody's paying rent. Everybody contributes. It's a mindset. It's a collective mindset that you understand that everybody thrives when everybody thrives. And so there's no intentional depriving some people of others of what they need. And so, therefore, there's no conflict.
Thank you for calling the Coordinated Healthcare Transplant Department. Please note that your call may be monitored for quality assurance. To provide clinical information or travel and lodging receipts, please fax them to 877-498-3679. To speak to the next available transplant team member, please remain on the line.
If you know the extension you're trying to reach, press 1.
Now you're telling them to go be inconvenient themselves. Like you would tell them to live like,
And that's the people who produce technology and all the other convenience that we have are also of that collective mind.
Well, how do they get paid for this technology?
What do you need money for? If everyone simply contributes, and instead of money, I mean, you could cut, because money is like a means of exchange. You don't really need the means of exchange.
Water.
You just exchange.
Water.
Living beings eating from the earth. So we've have a system of capitalism and saying that you have to pay me for what the earth gave us, that it took maybe that field to be plowed and those seeds to be dropped, but all the work was done by the energy of the earth, the sun and the rain, by the creator. And so we look at how do we charge another human being for what the creator has given us. This is why GMOs, genetically modified organisms, we have to understand that GMO originally stands for God makes the original. We don't produce, we don't produce, we can't grow a blade of grass, we can't make a scab. All of that is given by divine. And what we're doing is we're asking to be compensated for something that comes from God. God doesn't need our money.
All right now.
That's how the church ran, though.
So what did you say about the church community?
That's how the church is ran, from off money.
Yeah.
No, listen, I understand. That's a good point. No, listen, I agree. God will let you into heaven. Listen to me. Everything sounds good in theory. In practice, in practicality, it doesn't, right? Because I've never seen anything, me personally, I've never seen anything work without money being done, right? And if I've seen it work without money being done, it's on a bartering system. People who work on a bartering system, they're more like the Amish. They're more like, village people. And that's okay. I would love to live like that. I don't care. 80% of people do not want to live like a village human being. They want their cars, they want their clothes, they want their dimes, they want their jewelry, they want all these first world things, but they want third world food. No, you got to live third world to have third world food, third world food system, third world bartering system. You can't live in the first world. In order to live in the first world, you got to accept the BS that the first world gives you, right? People don't want to live out in the jungle and fend for themselves, fend for themselves from bad animals. How do you now collect your own electricity? How do you now filter out your own water harvest that? How do you do all that? You got to learn a bunch of different skill sets before you go off the grid. I've been trying to learn these skill sets every single day. My dad, he catches his own water. I think we live in a fantasy world where we think we can have everything and eat it too. No, if you want that bartering system, you got to live like someone who lives in the village.
Or if the people who have the mindset to barter develop the technical skills to create what they desire, then they can have all they desire because they have the mindset of sharing. And if they have the mindset of sharing and the technical skills of creation, then they can create all of those things you desire, everything from the cars to the electrical appliances and everything else.
And you're still being paid the same as someone who mops the floor, you're saying?
Absolutely, because even the person who spent the year learning how to fix a computer, what if the years that they spent fixing the computer were also years where the person who gave them the knowledge and they acquired that knowledge, it was also on that same system of barter, trade, using what do they call it? Time banking, system where your time is worth the same time as everyone else. So even though they spent time learning those skills, they didn't spend any money, so it's not like they have to earn what they invested. They didn't invest anything but time.
Time is
relative to everybody.
Exactly. So if I spend 20, 30 years developing a skill set, right? Someone who spent 2 minutes developing a skill set, it's impossible for them two people to get paid the same amount.
But what if they don't need to get paid at all? I mean, what if what you need in life is given to you for free? Your home, your vehicle, your food. What if everything that you require is provided to you? So it doesn't matter how much you earn because it's not affecting the quality of your life. You can have the same quality of life in a system where no money exists if you have people of a mindset of the beehive where everyone gets what they need.
But there's only one resource in the beehive, and that's honey, right? We're talking about different types of resources.
Mm-hmm. It's the same concept, though. Even though you're doing something different, it's the same. This is what you contribute to the society.
They
contribute their skill, and everybody contributes what they contribute, and everybody gets what they need because somebody's contributing what you need. And so the ability to function as part of the collective is that you contribute your part.
Yeah.
Whatever your skills and your knowledge are, and as a result of that, you get what you need. You get the house, you get the car, you get the food, you get everything. You get, you know, whatever help.
You get everything
because you're giving what you have to offer, even if it's something technical like fixing a computer. And the person who mops the floor, they have the same access to whatever kind of house they want to live in, the same kind of car they want to drive, because everybody gets what they need. Because everybody gives what they have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Me personally, I've never seen that happen ever in the history of this world. And if it did, it probably happened in a small pocket because it can't happen on a large scale. Because once again, keep in mind, people take the path of least resistance. They don't want to do work, right? So if a person who takes the path of least resistance, I'm not going to build a car and get paid the same as much as people who mop the floor. The reason why, it takes years and it takes money to build these facilities. It takes plants. I own a company. I'm not going to get paid the same amount as a person who just does my social media.
Would it matter? I mean, if you got whatever you needed from doing what you do, would it matter if they were considered of equal value to you? Would it matter to you?
Have you read
your quality of life?
It's impossible for someone who starts a company and makes every single decision in that company to make sure that company is functioning, running above ground, above water, to get paid the same as the person who runs the packages to the UPS store. It's impossible.
Okay, so let me ask you this question.
Could I share something?
After you get paid.
Just a minute, Baba.
You buy resources to keep that company alive, to keep it thriving.
Okay.
Most companies, do you own a company?
Yes. But what do you buy with what you earn from your company?
I buy based on the system that I live in. Like
okay.
If I lived off grid, I was born off.
What do you buy? I mean, you buy your car, your equipment that you like, your entertainment. I mean, this is what you spend your money for, right?
What
if you cut out the middle part, the money, and you just had the thing given to you that you wanted?
Given by who? From who?
By the people who provide those things, because that's what they contribute to the society. That's their portion of contribution.
So you're saying everyone just gives one to the next person. We just keep giving to each other, right?
Yes.
So if you give me mopping, I give you a car.
Not necessarily, but if you need mopping,
I'll come and mop for you.
I'm saying that if everybody contributes what they contribute, then the person who mops for you,
you
might not give them a car, but you might give the car to someone else who needs a car, but then somebody who has a computer might give that to you because you gave the car to somebody. So whatever you give is what you give, and you get from whoever provides what you want, you get it from them. The only thing you're cutting out is the middle element, which is money.
I get that, but the thing is how do you equate somebody, if one guy builds my house and one guy does the plumbing, do they both get paid the same? Because one guy had to actually do the whole infrastructure and lay the plumbing and lay it down. It's like, who decides who gets paid what based on the labor of time put in, their expertise, the amount of years they put in? Somebody who put in 60 years of experience, it's impossible for... If you pay somebody who put in 60 years of experience the same as somebody who put in 60 minutes of experience, they're going to leave that job and say, you know what, I'm done. It happens right now in the workforce. They're getting people who are tenured, who have lots of knowledge, and somebody, or let's say they say the Mexicans, they'll come do the same job for less. Yeah, they're going to pay them less, right? Because you owe me more. That's why you have work unions for people to get paid, for them to live. Because it's impossible for it to pay people the same amount across the grid. It's because not everybody...
Introducing is a different way of thinking. Because if everyone's time, well, of course it is. An hour for me is an hour, it's the same as an hour for you.
Really,
I mean,
not really, I think it's 2 hours.
Okay, well, Lance.
The drive, the will.
Okay.
It's life. Their time is more valued than a person who has not put in the time and work.
Oh. Oh, no, let's not do this again. She's acting crazy, Baba Kwame. Go ahead and talk until I can pull them up, Baba Kwame. Go right ahead.
No, Baba I don't know. Can you hear?
I can hear you loud.
It's the past.
Yeah.
No, that's knowledge acquired.
Hold on, Baba. I got it back.
Using past knowledge acquired to help go forward. A person who has acquired knowledge over 20 years and specific expertise cannot be paid the same as a person who put five years of knowledge into that same expertise. Like if you're 5 years into being a plumber and I'm 50 years of being a plumber, it's impossible because I have way more technical skill set, so I get paid more for the minute and the hour for me to get paid because I put in so much time of my life. That's how people are seniored and tenured,
mm-hmm.
because of how long they've done something.
Mm-hmm.
They're an expert now. It takes 10,000 hours to become an expert. Not 2,000 hours. Not 2,000 hours or 3,000. 20,000. That's the level of an expert. 10,000. If you pay an expert the same amount of money as a beginner, they're going to walk away from you. They're going to, I don't want to do it. Because I'm an expert. You can't pay me as someone who's
mm-hmm.
But what do you need to get paid for?
The same resources that you're gonna get. Like, why would I bust my butt and be tired and stressed out from all this work and making sure everything runs when someone can just sit up there and just do whatever and get paid the same? I would just sit up there and do whatever and get paid that day.
But whatever they do, that's their skill. So let's say I braided hair, and for 8 hours I was braiding hair, and for 8 hours. You were doing the work that you do. And then after that 8 hours, I was able to go and buy, well, I would have to buy it. It would just be given to me. I would be given a laptop computer, and after your 8 hours of your work, you would be given a laptop computer, and it's the same exact same computer. Would you feel that because what I received for my hair braiding and what you received for your work, we both spent 8 hours. Would you feel like that was unfair?
How dangerous is my job? Am I building a bridge where I have to go down in the water and almost kill myself? Because there's guys who go kill themselves. They're on power lines. They're digging ditches. They're building highways. They're doing very hard work. You can't pay that person the same amount of money for 8 hours as you pay the person that braided hair for 8 hours.
But what did they want to get with their 8 hours that they spent on
the building the infrastructure of society for you to live and work on, for you to drive on the streets, for you to drive a car. They're going to get paid more because they're constituting to the fabric of society and how it runs, so your life can be easier.
So
it's a luxury. It's not a necessity.
Okay. So with the 8 hours that they spent, they intended to use. They intended to receive something. If the thing that they received for their 8 hours of work is the same thing that I received for the 8 hours of my work, let's say for their 8 hours of their work, they received a new car. And for the 8 hours of the work that I did, I also received a new car. Would you say that was, but what they wanted was a new car? So would they be upset if what I did in my 8 hours, I also received a new car? So you're saying that they should have more because their work is more valuable. I'm saying they're equal human beings. They both have the same amount of time.
But they put in different work. They put in different work. One's more strenuous than the other. One's more important.
But whose time work is important?
The,
boss cannot meet the amount of labor and time put in and spent, the intensity, the knowledge it took. A boss who has been running their company for 10 years cannot pay their employee the same amount of money they make, who's just been working for 10 days.
But what do you need money for?
Well, anything, any resource, in the same car, whatever you say. It can be money, it can be anything.
If you got the resource and you didn't need the money, then would it matter if you got
it?
It's the same or not.
Because it's 10 years of my life that I've spent of work and acquiring resources and knowledge and going in debt and a bunch of different stuff. When someone put in 10 days, I cannot start paying you the same amount as I'm making as you're making, because I put in so much more work than you, and I own the company.
So why would you not want people to have what you have?
Because this is the only way what you're saying works is that there's no company. Everyone's in a bartering system. They live without things, because no one's going to put in more work. Why would I put in more work in you and a harder work and do something for 10 years when I say, you know what? Damn, this person getting paid the same amount of money as me. I've been putting in 10 years, and they've been doing a job for 10 months. Okay, let me just quit this job and go to another job and just mop the floor and get paid the same as the person been doing it for 10 days. People would kill themselves over working for companies because it's so much stress.
Well, and the reason why it's stressful, because it's not work they want to do. But what if you were doing the work you want to do and you like doing it, and you invested time in doing it, and you got what you wanted to receive for doing it?
It sounds simple, but it's not. It's because somebody who has put in time will always get paid more than someone who hasn't. There's called a level of mastery, a tenure, a seniority. People get seniority based on what they've done. The grandmother is more respected than the child. Because the grandmother has more knowledge. So we respect the grandmother more than we respect the child. They hold the key to life is burned down when the grandmother dies or grandparent dies, because they have knowledge of how to make the world work. A child has done a bunch of things. Per minute is more valuable than a person who's never done anything per minute, because you have no real life experience. That person has eons of experience. It's been different places. But yeah, I'm going to value their time more than I'm going to value your time, because they can give me more knowledge per minute than you can, because you don't have the same knowledge and experience. It's about skin and game. It's about work equity, sweat equity. I can't now diminish your sweat equity to somebody who's never done anything. I have to respect that person who's put in 100 years of work, or someone put in a year of work. More, I'm going to pay that person more. And to say that is like, for me, I'm just like, okay, well, let me just stop and just do the same as what that person who didn't put work in. Then no one will be an expert at anything. How do you now build a system on everyone paying the same? You put in thousands of years, and you put in 1 minute. They'll all get paid the same. What? Man, no one would do anything. They'll all do what that one person who's never put in work do.
Is it because the incentive for working, is it because you like the work or because you want the money? What is the reason for working?
We live a life, like I told you, a path of least resistance. Every human being does that. So if I, it's return on investment. Whatever I invest in, I'm expecting a certain amount of return. If I've put in 10 years of investment, if you give me a return of someone who put in 2 days of investment, yo, you're pulling a fast one on.
Well, one last thing. And Dylan knows why I'm doing this, because we're actually creating something, and so we have to look at the mindset of people.
I get it.
Now, let's say I have a pie, you know, sweet potato pie. And you got three people.
Yeah.
And one is an engineer,
and
builds bridges, and one mops floors for a living, and one owns a company and employs 50 people.
Yeah.
There are three human beings.
Yeah.
How should the pie be divided?
On based
based on that economy and what people value in that economy.
Okay, what about if they all three got an equal share of the pot?
Well, I don't understand what that means. Because I just told you.
This is not a symbolic, but this is the actual pie. This is just a pie.
So we all value pie, right?
So why would any
pie be... I didn't say anything.
Okay. Yeah, right. So then, here we go.
So we got pie, right? We only value this pie. Right.
Only value this pie. We all want a piece of pie. We're three different people, and here's one pie. How do we divide it? How do we decide?
Simple pops. Learn that skill set just because their mother was doing it, and it took them 5 minutes to learn how to sweep. How long does it typically take you to learn how to sweep? 5 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
So that person took 5 minutes to learn how to sweep. That person who built bridges, it took them about 10 years of how to build a bridge that's going to keep people safe and not die.
Mm-hmm.
Because now we're protecting people. So now people's lives are in danger, so it took him 10 years. And not only 10 years to learn, now another 10, 20 years to build. Because no one just builds it overnight, right? You got to have a proper infrastructure. You got a proper knowledge. You got to hire the proper people. You got to get the proper resources and supplies to build that bridge, right? Well, that person, it probably took them about 20 minutes, let's say, right? And a person who owned the company, he's had to make every decision right to make that company last. Most businesses fail within the first 2 years. In the third year, probably only about 2% last, right? So this person is a 2% human being who has had to go through the ups and downs and the hardships of building a company. So therefore, that person's value, if that company is making money, because not every company makes money, even though Uber's a big company, it doesn't make money, right? So now we're saying, okay, you put in 20 years, you put in 30 years, your work is more stressful because now you've got other people's lives. You're putting money in other people's pockets. So now everybody depends on you. You're doing payroll, you're hiring people, you're firing people. You're doing every single thing. You have much more responsibility of 100 people in a company and millions of people for that person building bridge, right?
Mm-hmm.
So billions of people depend on you to build that bridge, right, or they die. Hundreds of people that depends on you to build the right company, or they don't make money. You have much more responsibility, and you with a mop. Who's depending on you? You just have a mop. And it took you 5 minutes. It took that person 10, 15 years. It took that person 20 years. More people are at risk for what those people do. So, yeah, I'm not going to give these people the same, because who's more at risk? Who puts more money in more pockets? Who supports more families? Those two people who build bridges and run companies are making sure that everybody else is living and making money, and their kids and their family and their health care and their dental care. They're doing a lot of stuff. I'll give that person the same piece of the pie as this one from the floor.
Okay.
But I have all the responsibility in the world.
Okay. So now, when's the last time you went to a gathering at someone's home?
Yes.
And when they divided up the food, they said, oh, well, you can't have as much as this person. He's a doctor. And so I'm going to give him a bigger plate and an extra piece of dessert. But you're unemployed, so I'll give you a slice of bread. When's the last time that happened? Or did everybody eat equally and no, it didn't matter what you did?
That's a false thing. Because we're talking about actual.
All right.
Go right ahead, Mama. Because they're great.
Every
human being equal value. That's the question.
Everybody, right. Every human being, because not everybody put in the same time and labor. So we don't get paid.
So you're a less. You are less of value as a human being based on what you do.
You're going to get more money based. Yeah. You're going to get more money based. In this world we live in,
you don't deserve to eat as much as someone who values.
I'll tell you what the words. Not just by being alive. No one just gets by being alive.
So
that's not the world we live in. That no human does
right.
That. Nope.
like it's an idealistic world. Yeah, I get it.
Okay,
I would love
that's
to
all we needed.
Like
if you live in a world like that, then that's the world we should be creating. Because what we have is not working. That's what we're for.
You'll never be creating.
But what?
You have the right.
Could I?
You'll never be creating.
Shall we have the intelligence of the beast? We will be in conflict.
Baba Kwame Sunhorse wants to comment.
Basic concept, then we'll solve our problem.
But until we do.
There's no way impossible.
But old brothers, we have kept her way past the time.
Yeah, because my...
I'm glad I've, opened your mind.
Hello?
Okay.
Hello?
Oh, my. I
yeah, people
that,
still
have that system type of mind.
Huh? Hello?
Hello?
Hi, this is Baba Kwame. How many people we got on the phone?
I don't know. Somebody else is saying hello.
And I think they cut our
they did. Everything just dropped. Yeah. Baba, are you still there?
Yeah,
Baba,
I'm
are you still
here.
Hey, go ahead, because you just cut everybody off, so go ahead.
Okay, and what I'm hearing is that, you know, generationally, and Lance said it, he was talking about the grandmother. Grandmother's lap time or grandfather's lap time given to a child back two generations is a difference than what it is today, because each generation out of relative obscurity must fulfill its mission or we all fail. And what we have is that mother allowing that child to grow in her womb and then to raise that child, there isn't a compensation that is going to divide that pie up in the family, because there isn't a price tag you put on a human life that we have to overstand. What you do with your life and how you use your time, or you take the word time and say emit, how you emit your energy in constructing the world that you're creating is to be better than the world that was your grandparents. And this is what our ancestors have did with guiding us. The thing that we're looking at is that is not our way. That is capitalism, and that's the way in which they created us to believe that we have to follow this system. And this is why the system is not working, because it's out of order. You know, we say about arts, the example you gave was this person won a car and that person. Both of them is damaging the planet. To make that vehicle, you're damaging the planet. And what we're doing is that are we constructing a new environment, or are we continuously doing the destruction to the earth in order to make ourselves feel good by having things?
Well said, Baba Kwame. Well said.
Thank you for that, because the thing is that we wouldn't make these destructive things for the environment. We wouldn't force kids in Congo to dig up coal things to build your cell phone or your cars or your computers. We wouldn't have any of this stuff, because if we're trying to do good by people in nature, none of this stuff would exist. Phones won't exist. None of it would. It would literally be us bartering, living like the Amish. Probably wouldn't even be using horses. We would just walk everywhere. We wouldn't do much. We would have no reach around this world. Like, just to think about that mindset, capitalism is what it is. It has advantages and disadvantages. Bartering has advantages and disadvantages. We can't say one is all good and one is all bad.
Mm.
It's not. It's like living in Jamaica. One is not all good and living in Europe is not all bad, right? I need to see an example of that working in a system thriving on that. You know, I've read about certain things like in Egypt. I live in Egypt, and I read about how, you know, they build a pyramid. Those people had to put in some work. People got compensated differently.
But what about if we learned a different means of communication, which did the same thing as a cell phone? What if we learned a different way of transportation? We did the same thing as an automobile, and these methods were in harmony with nature and didn't destroy any parts of the planet. What if we learned those things?
I would say it theory until it's actually being proven. You know, I can say what if about a lot of things, but I like to work in what I know and what's here. I can't tell you other than what I know what hasn't worked. It's like I have to have legitimate, feasible, tangible things for me to understand the way that something else would work. Knowledge of it ever happening, and there's nothing being documented. Cool, okay. I saw the ancient Kemet, the Egyptians were traveling and doing whatever. Cool. Well, we don't have that technology. That technology was lost 4,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
We're here now, so I get it. I understand that. But what we're living now with the resources we have now, we got to make the way with what we have. And in order to continue to even try to find that. Different, like the pyramid. The reason why the pyramid is still there is because it's built from the earth. You can't destroy something that is built from the earth. Right? You can destroy the bone, you can destroy the technology, but you can't destroy itself. The earth is going to destroy you before you destroy it. Right? So, I understand. Trust me. I've thought about this through and through. And I prefer life, but I grew up in the hood with no money. I get it. I grew up dirt poor. I would love for everybody to have money, but that's just not the world we live in. How do we create this? I don't know. Can we try to start it? Possibly. Has something ever like that ever worked? Yeah, but over 12,000 years ago, that has been lost. Now, if we tap back into that knowledge, cool. But then that's kind of like sci-fi. Like, it's like, who knows what's going to happen?
But, there's so much that you taught today that people had no knowledge of. You don't know until you know. I mean, so much of what you taught today, people had never heard and didn't know it existed until you taught it.
Yeah.
So you don't know what you know until you know it.
Yeah.
All we need to do is seek the knowledge and find it.
Yeah. So therefore, we've got to bring knowledge to the table, not theory.
Well, all righty now. Knowledge versus theory.
Yeah, gotta bring knowledge.
Baba, did I lose you?
No, you didn't. And knowledge... knowledge and wisdom. Theory is a one and one is two. But the thing is, one and one is not always two. It can be looked at as 11. But the whole thing of it is wisdom and knowledge. Understanding that knowledge and where does the thought come from? How did that person conceive that thought? Where did the consciousness come from to give that person the ability to see that I can take this brick and put it on top of this brick and measure it out to where I put all these bricks in a square and then just keep stacking them on top of us until I get a point. That was all divine intelligence because we conceive what the consciousness of the Creator is allowing us to conceive and what we do with it because the university that we live in is the university of life. And the part of that knowledge in which is given called consciousness through the water, through the plants, through the trees, because you can get a PhD in nature. And the thing that we're doing is that we are exchanging what Lance shared with something that we didn't know about the watermelon rind. But if you look back in time, that grandma knew that if we cut these off and pickled them, then you eat them because there was a certain thing that was given to them saying, we don't know all the science of it, but we know that it works. See, and each generation has taken it and find out and investigated and say, oh, this is in here, this is in that, this is in this. So what we're doing is that we're not reinventing the wheel, we're just adding new tread to go down the road of life.
Well said, Baba Kwame. I want to thank you for that, and I want to thank all of you for listening and for getting this information this morning. And be sure and share this information because everybody needs to know what's going on here. They dropped out for a second, but they are back, and I want to share some of these comments that we have. Soul Purpose Healing, Deborah says, Zelda, we're going to get you somewhere. No, don't get me somewhere. Get me to Jamaica. Somewhere in where I want to be. Jamaica is where I want to be. Viata from Soul Purpose Healing says, people look at getting a return on their investment of time and money. Cleaning people don't invest a lot of time or money in their skills, so their expected return is lower. Wow, yeah. There's a possibility of that. And she also says we give financial rewards for the investments people make in their lives. Utopia coming soon to a conscious city near you. I love it. Thank you, Viata. Just like AR, there are positives and negatives in this technology. Not going back to walking when flying cars are being created. I know this way.
You know, if you can get a solar-powered flying car that does not damage the economy or create pollution, you know, why not? I mean, these are things, you know, like Brother mentioned, there's so much knowledge that we used to have that's gone. We have to reclaim
right.
that and more. And,
yes.
you know, first mindset to change really is the idea that there's a hierarchy or some people are better than others. If we could grasp the thought that everybody is of equal value, even though they might perform different functions, then we can have a society where everybody has what they need and nobody has to suffer to just try to get some basic necessities. And we don't have to diminish the quality of life because everybody contributes to that quality of life. So whatever your contribution is, whether it's sweeping floor, braiding hair, building computers, or